If I can have your attention just for a minute, we're going to be opening town meeting in 1 minute. But in the meantime, if you have any seats that are empty near you, please raise your hand. All the people who are standing on the side, go in and take some of those seats. There's lots of seats available. We're not going into the balcony. Patty Golden, Patty, could you come? Okay, everybody's here? Oh, my God. Can I have your attention, please? There's still some people coming in, and at this moment, the balcony is locked. There's still plenty of seats here. Once we're full here, We will unlock the balcony and send people up there. So again, raise your hand if you have seats near you that are empty. Those people who are standing in the hall on the sides, take one of those seats, please. Plenty of seats in here, either side. Come on down, and wherever you see someone's hand raised, they have a seat available next to them. Thank you all for doing that. Okay. I call this meeting to order. My name is Myron Fox. It is my honor to be your presiding officer, the moderator, tonight at this special town meeting. I declare a quorum to be present. Fire Chief wants you to know that there are emergency exits at the back, either side of the hall, in the back, and you can also come up the stairway to the on the front, and there's exits through the stage. At this time, I'd appreciate if all of you would rise for our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty, justice for all. Thank you. Rich, yeah, if you could just tell them that there's seats down here. Thank you. I've examined and found in order the call of this meeting, the officer's return of service, and confirmation of mailing the warrant to residents. I ask Lawrence O'Brien, Chair of the Board of Selectmen, for a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of this meeting, the officer's return of service, notice, and the individual articles of the warrant.
So moved, Mr. Moderator.
Does it receive a second? It does. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. It passes unanimously. I ask for the consent of the hall to have Fred Pryor, as assistant moderator, to assist me as he's done in several years past. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it's unanimous. Thank you. Unfortunately, there's no coffee or snacks tonight. Bathrooms are located across the hall. There are extra warrants, should be up front. Hang on.
Patty, could you
The Boy Scouts have extra warrants. If you don't have your warrant, please raise your hand. Boy Scouts, would you look up and just hand them out to those people who don't have them? Keep your hands raised, please, so the Boy Scouts can see you. I'm going to keep going while they're doing that. And while we're on the subject of Boy Scouts, help me to thank Boy Scout Troop 63, leader is Ken Chung, and the Boy Scouts who are running the mics are Tim Dumphy, Liam Houston, and Emmett Alkasab. Thank you, boys. The League of Women Voters has asked me to announce that all four candidates for Sudbury State Senate seats will be participating in a candidates' night sponsored by the League on Monday, October 15th at 7:30 at Goodnow Library. And speaking of Goodnow Library, the Foundation for the Library is sponsoring a 150th birthday celebration for the library Saturday, October 20th, 6:30 to 10 a.m. I believe that should be p.m. at the library. This is a townwide event. You can call Goodnow Library or check the library's website for more details. There'll be elegant food, music, and a silent auction. The foundation is focusing on funding critically needed improvements in four areas of the library: the children's room, upgrading technology, building community, and accessing historical materials, as well as the building endowment. The cost for the event is $75 a person. I'd like to now introduce the town officials involved in town meeting. Please raise your hand when your name is called for our new attendees. To my right, Rosemary Harvell, town clerk. To her right, assistant town clerk, Layla Frank. To my left, Selectman John Drabinski, Bob Hardy, Larry O'Brien. Town manager to Larry's left is Maureen Valente. Down here is our town accountant, Barbara Chisholm. Assistant town accountant is Robin Porcella. Town council to my immediate left is Paul Kenny. At the view graph, we have Mary McCormack, the executive assistant to the town manager, Patty Golden, the manager of the Office of Selectmen, Elaine Jones, who manages the town's legal department, and Mark Thompson, our technology administrator, and as well, Brian Powell is somewhere, who is the assistant to the technology administrator. I'd also like to thank the entire LSAV and building staff, as well as the folks at the camera. I know Jeff Winston's here from the cable committee for the town. Finance committee, is Bob Jacobson here? Yes. Jamie Gossels, Bob Stein, Mark Manassian, Bill Nealon Jr., Doug Cohen, Jim Rao, who's the chair, Chuck Woodard, Joan Carlton, Finance Committee. Assistant Town Manager, Mary Ann Bilodeau, and the Director of Assessing is Maureen Hafner, and Treasurer, Collector, Finance Director, all in one, Andrea Turkelson. Did I miss anybody? Okay. A few procedures I'd like to go over with you. Please turn off all your cell phones and any other device that emits noises. Also, if you wish to speak and you have a mic that's being given to you, please give your name and address clearly each time you speak in order to assure a clear audio tape record. If you desire to be recognized, please raise your card. Do not stand at the microphones because the Boy Scouts, I'll be able to see you in your seat, and the Boy Scouts will run a mic over to you. You don't have to blow into the mic. It'll be on. And if you wait just 2 or 3 seconds, you then can speak, beginning with your name and address. The reason we're using the Boy Scouts once again tonight is because in the hall we have very long rows with no aisle breaks. People who are sitting in the middle won't be able to come out to get to the mic in front of the hall, and therefore we have runners with mics that will pass on to you. As soon as you're finished with your statement, after you speak, please return the mic from whence it came. All motions of substance, which includes motions to amend, must be delivered to myself and the town clerk in writing before they are made. Also, a copy has to go to the folks in the view graph so everybody in the hall can see the amendment. In addition, when you make a motion or an amendment, you must do so when first recognized and not at the end of a statement or a question. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town and regional school employees and our representatives may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows in the back of the floor of the auditorium. I caution those of you who are here because of a special matter of concern to not leave the hall as soon as we have voted on that matter. You'll be treating your neighbors disrespectfully by not listening to their articles as they have sat and listened to yours. I'm also encouraging those of you who don't usually speak at town meeting to do so. Please be reminded that if you present or speak on an article, the bylaws specifically state that presenters will speak for a maximum of 10 minutes and speakers for a maximum of 5 minutes. For presenters, there will be a five-minute warning buzzer to let you know that half your time is gone. Kindly plan accordingly as requests of the hall to exceed those minutes are not granted freely. For presenters, unless you move in the words of the article as printed in the warrant, every presenter must tell the hall of any word changes in the motion you are reading and how they differ from the words that the voters saw in the warrant. Vote counting takes considerably longer in this auditorium because of the long rows with no aisle breaks, so please do not ask for a head count by tellers unless you are sure that I have miscalculated. I assure you that unless a standing vote is obvious, I will call for a head count by tellers. If you wish to vote on an article and you are watching at home on TV, I strongly suggest that you leave well before the discussion begins so that you have adequate time to park, check in at the tables inside the side doors, and find your way to the auditorium before the doors are locked during the vote count. It would be unfortunate if voters cut it too close and got shut out of the vote. The percentage vote required for passage of an article is set forth in the warrant next to each article. Particularly for those new attendees, please be reminded that there's no clapping, hissing, booing, or other audible noise for or against speakers before, during, or after presentations. Speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, speaker, town official, or town employee. If you do, your right to speak may be terminated. My job as moderator is to ensure full and open discussion and fair play on each article. Your job as legislators is to ensure goodwill and respect for differing views. Recently, there have been some disgraceful comments by some politician, frustrated Americans of different political persuasions, and commentators. This is a reminder that any such behavior will not be tolerated and will be dealt with firmly by me. Allow me to read you Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 39, Section 17. Quote, no person shall address a town meeting without leave of the moderator, and all persons shall, at the request of the moderator, be silent. If a person, after warning from the moderator, persists in disorderly behavior, the moderator may order him to withdraw from the meeting, and if he does not withdraw, may order a constable or other person to remove him and confine him in some convenient place until the meeting is adjourned. I hope never to use that power. Article 1, Special Town Meeting. Is Lisa Gutch in the audience of the Sudbury Public Schools for a motion?
Move that the town of Sudbury appropriate the amount of $808,000 for the purpose of paying costs of partial roof repair replacement at the General John Nixon Elementary School, 472 Concord Road, including the payment of all costs incidental or related thereto, the project, which proposed repair project would materially extend the useful life of the school and preserve an asset that otherwise is capable of supporting the required educational program, and for which the town of Sudbury has applied for a grant from the Massachusetts School Building Authority, the MSBA, said amount to be expended under the direction of the Permanent Building Committee, School Building Committee. To meet this appropriation, the treasurer is authorized to borrow said amount under MGL Chapter 44 or pursuant to any other enabling authority. The town of Sudbury acknowledges that the MSBA's grant program is a non-entitlement discretionary program based on need, as determined by the MSBA. And if the MSBA's Board of Directors votes to invite the town to collaborate with the MSBA on this proposed repair project, any project cost the town of Sudbury incurs in excess of any grant that may be approved by and received from the MSBA shall be the sole responsibility of the town of Sudbury, provided that any appropriation hereunder shall be subject to and contingent upon an affirmative vote of the town to exempt the amounts required for the payment of interest and principal on said borrowing from the limitations on taxes imposed by MGL Chapter 59, Section 21C, Proposition 2.5, and that, if invited to collaborate with the MSBA on the proposed repair project, the amount of borrowing authorized pursuant to this vote shall be reduced by any grant amount set forth in the project funding agreement that may be executed by the town of Sudbury and the MSBA.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Gutch.
Okay. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to bring some information to your attention. In the town warrant, the article for the Nixon Roof Project does not have a dollar amount associated with it. As stated in the motion I just read, this article requests an appropriation by the town of $808,000. This includes the project estimate of $788,000 plus $20,000 for debt issuance. With the town's approval, funding for this project will be through a type of exemption to Proposition 2.5, known as a debt exclusion. A debt exclusion requires a temporary increase in taxes for the period of time that the debt exists. So with the moderator's permission, I will begin the presentation. Nixon Elementary School was originally built in 1960. Renovations in 1990 included the construction of a new roof. This roof is now more than 20 years old. A major addition to the school, including a library, a gym, and some more classrooms, was completed in 1994. The school currently serves 400 students. In 2010, Sudbury's Permanent Building Committee commissioned a survey of all town and school building roofs. This led to the successful completion of the Massachusetts School Building Authority Green Repair Program at Noyes Elementary School in 2011 and a reimbursement to the town of over $730,000 from the MSBA. The 2010 report also indicated that the older portion of Nixon School's roof should be replaced during FY12, which was last school year. The accelerated repair program is offered by the MSBA. It provides cost sharing to towns for the repair and replacement of school roofs. The intent of the program is to extend the useful life of the school and preserve an asset that is otherwise structurally and educationally sound. In January 2012, the Sudbury Public Schools worked closely with the PBC to submit a statement of interest to the MSBA for Nixon School's partial roof replacement and repairs. The project received unanimous support from the Sudbury School Committee and also the Board of Selectmen. In June of 2012, Sudbury was invited to participate in the MSBA's Accelerated Repair Program for Nixon. Final approval is expected at the November MSBA board meeting. You know what? It's actually not changing up here. Okay. Okay. While estimates have been prepared by the PBC, detailed design and scope work can only occur if the town agrees to appropriate the funds for this project. The appropriation requires a special town meeting and a special town election to approve funding and meet time requirements imposed by the MSBA. Work must be completed within 18 months of MSBA approval. So roof construction is planned for the summer of 2013 when this school year ends. Okay. The estimated total roof project cost is $788,000 plus the cost of debt issuance, which is anticipated to be about $20,000. Sudbury is eligible to receive from the MSBA 36.89% of eligible approved costs. Total reimbursement from the MSBA is estimated at $274,000. Therefore, the net cost to the town of Sudbury is projected at $514,000. Because the roof is leaking, it is necessary that we complete the project with or without MSBA funding. Without the MSBA, the total cost of the project will be slightly less than what is projected because we will avoid certain costs that are imposed on the town through the MSBA process. Approval is needed at town meeting for the total cost of the project. The town will bond only Sudbury's portion, which is the total cost less the MSBA reimbursement. What does this mean to the taxpayer? Based on recent history and the average assessed home value, a taxpayer might expect to pay between $10 with MSBA funding and $16 without MSBA funding per year for 10 years, depending on the final bonding options available to the town during the next 12 to 18 months. I would now like to introduce Jim Kelly, the facilities director for the town of Sudbury and Sudbury Public Schools, who will address specific problems and solutions for the Nixon roof.
Thank you. If there are any, whenever anyone's making a presentation, there's a laptop right in front of you, so you don't have to turn around and look up here, because when you look up here, you're away from the mic and people aren't going to hear you anymore.
Thank you, Lisa. Good evening, everybody. So to continue, I will share with you some evidence of the problems with the Nixon roof so you can get a better idea of the scope and necessity of the project. Leaks in the classrooms and hallways, deterioration of seams and flashings, and patches over patches are some of the problems. The portion of Nixon roof being replaced is 26,000 square feet. The roof was evaluated in 2010, and evidence was found that the membrane seams and flashings were beginning to fail. In order to verify exactly how the roof was performing, we made several test cuts at various locations. This is a picture of such test. The engineer marked the locations and actually cut through the rubber and insulation to confirm the roof condition. These tests, as well as an infrared roof scan, confirmed the need to replace the roof covering. This picture shows the underside of the roof deck, and you can see staining of the decking in the wall from the roof leak. Here is another location where water has found its way through the rubber roof. Our plan is to strip the existing rubber roof and replace it with a new membrane with welded seams. We will insulate the new roof with foam to meet current energy code, increase the roof pitch so it drains, and we will receive a 20-year warranty. This is a good view of the two sections of Nixon roof to be replaced. I am standing on the cafetorium roof. Both sections show some standing water pond after a recent rain. As part of this roof replacement project, we will also be making various repairs at other areas of the building roof. One example are the gutters and fascias at the cafetorium roof edge. We will remove or repair rotted wood and replace with new or clad with aluminum. Clearly, we need to find a way to get that pond into that roof drain. Flat roofs aren't really flat. Current building codes require minimum roof slopes to prevent ponding water and allow for better drainage. This is a great aerial view of the Nixon School. The total roof area is about 62,000 square feet. About 30,000 square feet was installed with the addition in 1994, and 26,000 square feet of the roof was installed in 1990 when the school was renovated. This is the roof area we are going to replace. The cafetorium and rotunda make up the remaining square footage. As I mentioned earlier, part of the roofing project includes repairs to the newer 1994 sections. This is a picture of the flashings and seams around the rotunda. This is what the roof looks like after chasing a leak above the boiler room after several attempts. Leaks are often hard to find because the water can travel along the decking some distance before it leaks down into the finished area. I hope those slides were helpful. With these repairs and regularly scheduled preventive maintenance, this project will ensure the long-term utility of the Nixon School and will preserve and protect the town's asset. Thank you for your support on Article 1.
Excuse me for that little absence. We're having trouble fitting everybody everywhere. And so let me ask you now before we go on. If you're a non-voter, you don't have a card. If there are any non-voters sitting in this hall, either upstairs in the balcony or downstairs here, I'm going to ask you to please leave this room and go across from the floor of the auditorium into the lecture hall where you'll be able to hear everything. But you won't be able to speak back to us, which you don't have the right to do anyway. So, if you don't have a card, because you haven't registered to vote yet, or you're not a resident of Sudbury, please, this would be the opportune time to go across to the hall, because we need to get voters into this room. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And as soon as those folks leave, I'm going to ask everybody who's standing, if you have a seat next to you and you're sitting here, please raise your hand. Everybody who's standing, please come and take a seat here. Same thing up in the balcony. If you have a seat available next to you, please raise your hand. Anybody who's standing, take a seat, please. Rich? Sergeant McLean, if you could send the voters from over there here, that'd be great. Keep your hands up, please. We got more people coming from the next door over to here.
Okay, recess is over. We're all set. Thank you. Please, everybody. We're now going to hear from the Finance Committee their opinion on Article 1.
Finance Committee supports Article 1.
Finance Committee supports Article 1. Selectman Bob Hardy.
Mr. Moderator, the Board of Selectmen strongly support this article. We understand and respect that the Sudbury schools are some of our most important assets, and maintaining them is of the utmost importance, and we strongly support and urge support of this article. Thank you.
Okay. Again, just for the moment, could everyone raise your hand? We have a new people coming in. Raise your hand if there's a seat available next to you. Folks who are just coming in, just grab seats wherever you see a hand up. But could we make sure when these people are coming in that they're all voters of the town, please? Okay, raise your hand if you have a seat next to you. People who are coming in, grab a seat. Okay, thank you. Okay, does anybody wish to be heard on Article 1? If so, please raise your card. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 1, please raise your card. Could you stand, please? Can we get a mic over here?
Kirsten Van Dyke, Barnett Road. I have one question. Was any moisture found that was bearing any mold spores that may be in the air ducts throughout? And is this something that we've anticipated that we're looking out for before we give a number to the townspeople? Mold remediation can be very expensive.
No, there wasn't.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 1? Please raise your card. There's a little problem. We don't have enough Boy Scouts to go around. If you wish to speak, oh, you have a mic. You brought your own. Please stand up and give us your name and address. Thank you.
Dino Farina, 6 Old County Road, Sudbury. Just a couple of quick questions on this roofing project. One, how old is this current roof? Two, how long is this new roof scheduled to last? And three, what sort of provisions have been made to guarantee that preventive maintenance actually gets done on this roof so that it actually lasts for its expected lifetime? Thank you.
good questions. 22 years old is the existing. We will receive a 20-year warranty for the new roof, and we will perform and continue to perform preventive maintenance, semi-annual inspections, and after every storm event, significant storm event.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, please stand. And can we get a mic right on front? Come this way in front. In front. Right over there. Thank you.
Hold on questions.
I just need a name and address for the record.
Wayne Thomas, 203 Marlborough Road. What are the financing details? What will the total cost be? At what percent over how many years? And secondly, do we not ever put money away knowing that so many years in the future that we're going to have to replace a roof? And do we have any kind of a fund that we could use instead of going out and borrowing new money?
I may ask for some help on that question.
Andrea Turkelson, Finance Director for the town. The short answer is no, we don't have any other funds.
Speak up, please.
Certainly. We don't have any funds set aside for this, and that's why we would consider bonding. The actual bond issuance costs are not known at this time. It depends on when we're going to bond this project and whether or not we'll be bonding it with other projects such as the Fairbanks roof and anything else coming up. For something of this size, we would be looking most likely to do a 10-year bond issue. The town maintains a AAA credit rating, so we would expect to receive the best rates out in the market today. Does that answer your questions?
No.
Okay.
Should we be putting some money aside over the years so that we don't have to do a special bond issue for every project like this?
Well, that's certainly something that the town could consider. Under the current structure, we would be bonding. We'd be coming to you for each project and bonding as we needed to.
Well, I think that the $16, if I may continue to make another point, the $16 a year isn't going to break anybody. But it's a story that we've heard before when we went to Proposition 2.5. Now there are votes to override it almost every year. The school budget is now finding new and improved ways to get more money out of us even after we fund the budget.
Excuse me. The point, regardless of the point of order, what you have to do is address your remarks to whether or not we should be passing and bonding a new school roof at Nixon. Keep your remarks to that, please.
Just to emphasize the point that it's happening quite frequently that we're asked to dip into funds we didn't appropriate after we've already budgeted and agreed upon the tax rates for the town.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, could you please stand? Can you get a mic over to this gentleman here? Can we get this mic back? Can you get... Thank you.
Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. The presenters of this motion pointed out that the debt exclusion will require a special town election. Can we assume that in the interests of saving money and not having to run two elections where one would suffice, that the special town election, if this passes tonight, will take place coincidentally with the presidential election in November?
Anybody have an answer to that question?
I do not believe that is possible. I would turn to the town clerk for help on that. We often look at opportunities to combine articles at special town meetings or regular annual town meetings, and we also always look at opportunities if there's an election, trying to time these things so that we can reduce the cost of elections or the efficiencies of such. I do not believe that is something that is going to be able to take place in this case.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 1? I see no one. Could you stand up, please? Stand up. Thank you. Can we get a mic over to this person? Thank you.
Dean Casey, Poconoka Road. I was just wondered whether there was a warranty granted for the current roof that we are planning to replace, and if so, what was that warranty?
Yes, there was a warranty. I believe that warranty was a 15-year warranty when it was issued in 1990.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 1? I see no one. All those in favor of the article of the motion as it appears in the view graph, signify by raising your cards. Okay. All those opposed. Fred, if you can hear me in the lecture hall, could you do the same thing and then call me on the walkie-talkie and tell me what the results were there? It's nearly unanimous. Well, let's all those opposed to the motion on Article 1.
Okay. It's nearly unanimous both here and in the lecture hall. So by an overwhelming vote, Article 1 passes. We're going to now move on to Article 2. And Mr. Kelly, the facilities director of the schools in town, will give us a motion. Mr. Kelly, it's right there in the view graph in front of you, so you don't have to turn around.
I know.
It's a new and improved technology.
We're always improving. Move that the town of Sudbury appropriate the sum of $608,000 to be expended under the direction of the Permanent Building Committee for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the roofs or portions thereof at the Fairbank Community Center, and all expenses therewith, including professional and engineering, the preparation of plans, specifications and bidding, supervision of work and borrowing costs, and to raise this appropriation, the treasurer, with the approval of the Board of Selectmen, is authorized to borrow $608,000 under Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Section 7. All appropriation hereunder to be contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 debt exclusion in accordance with Mass General Law, Chapter 59, Section 21C.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. There's a lag here on my iPad.
Yes, that's okay.
Thus, this article requests a total of $608,000 to replace just over 20,000 square feet of roofing at the Fairbank Community Center. The construction cost estimate is $588,000, and the estimated cost of borrowing is $20,000. This portion of the building's roof is 22 years old and is a rubber roof originally installed over a tar and gravel roof. The roof area is located above the school administration offices, the pool locker rooms and corridor, the park and rec and teen center areas, and the senior center kitchen. The overall area of the community center's roof totaled 42,000 square feet. A couple years ago, we replaced 9,000 square feet at the senior center and the gymnasium roof. And last May, we approved funds at town meeting to replace 2,700 square feet of roof located below the Natatorium HVAC unit. The Fairbank Center was originally built as the Fairbank Elementary School in 1958. Alterations and additions were made in 1987 to accommodate the new pool, 1989 to accommodate the new senior center, and in 1990 when the school administration moved in. That's when the roof was done last. Fairbank Center is a true community center, a multi-use facility serving us all, from the Terrific Twos preschool program to the seniors' Fit for Future exercise program. This is a picture of the interior, a view of the school administration corridor. The building has been heavily used through its 54 years and continues to be a valuable and dependable asset, an asset that now requires our attention in order to maintain the many functions that this building provides. Our roof plan is to strip both layers completely and replace with new PVC roof membrane with welded seams. We will insulate the new roof, therefore saving energy on heating and cooling costs, pitch it so it drains, and receive a 20-year warranty. The 1958 school building was intentionally designed with a dead flat roof. This is noted on the original building plans. However, that was fine at the time, but the roofing products used today, as well as the building code, requires roofs to pitch and drain. Roofs should not be ponding water. This is a picture of the interior of the Atkinson Pool locker room, a hallway in the, from the locker rooms to the pool. This leak is at a wall flashing where the 1958 building joins the 1987 pool addition. This leak was repaired last week, hopefully. We tried to repair it. Here is another warning sign. The leaks are usually hard to pinpoint on the roof. Just like Nixon, sometimes these leaks can be several feet away from where they drip onto the ceiling. This picture shows the old skylights. These skylights will be removed, filled in with decking, and insulated. The roof will benefit from fewer flashing details, but we will also save energy by the insulation that will cover over those openings. This is what the skylights look like from the inside. These skylights were covered over with the rubber roof in 1990. I'm not sure you can see, but there are several water stains surrounding the old skylight. And I think you can see them. The rusted steel you see in this picture is the actual roof structure. The white material with the water stains is called tectum decking. And this, too, is the roof structure. These are equivalent to your roof rafters and plywood on your house. And once water gets through to your rafters, you should consider re-roofing your roof. In order to verify exactly how bad the roof's condition is, we perform several test cuts at various locations. Soft, spongy conditions were observed, indicating that the underlying rigid board insulation and components are wet. These cuts also determine how many layers of roofing will need to be stripped in preparation for construction bidding. This is another picture of the skylights. There are a couple dozen old skylights that were boarded over, and each corner of each skylight is a flashing detail. And these are where we have seen failure many times. The roofing system that exists is in very poor condition, and leaks are common. Numerous repairs to the roofing system have been made, and the cost of these repairs is increasing annually. This is just one more view of a roof leak. The photo is taken at the Atkinson Pool front desk. The roof must be replaced. It will only get worse, and the leaking will cause structural damage, and also interior finishes will be ruined. The cost of the project is estimated to be about $11 or $12 per year on the average home tax bill for 10 years. I think we have a great multi-use community center, and this project will preserve and protect the center for the town's continued use. I ask for your support of the Fairbank Roof Replacement Project.
Before we move on to the Finance Committee position on this, I'd just like to clarify the vote on Article 1. It did require a two-thirds vote. There were only a handful of negative votes in this hall as well as the lecture hall, and therefore it passed by well more than two-thirds. Finance Committee position on Article 2.
The Finance Committee supports Article 2.
Finance Committee supports Article 2. Selectman's position, Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The board supports in a 2-1 vote. We believe that supporting the and preserving and protecting the asset of the Fairbank Community Center is a worthwhile investment.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, sir. Could you stand up?
Michael Ensley, Peckham Road. Roughly what percent or how much square footage do we have of flat roofs in the town?
In,
In the town buildings?
Yeah.
I would say mostly we have flat roofs in our town buildings.
How much percentage-wise are we replacing every year?
Annually?
Yeah. What's the failure rate?
Well, replacement, I would say, is annually very, very small replacement as a percentage. As a percentage of the total roof area of the town, I don't really know, but I would say most of the schools are flat.
General conditions, have we done a facility condition audit in a while?
Yes, we have. What prompted our concern with this was it was many things, but in 2010 we had a survey done of 19 town buildings, roofs specifically, to determine the condition and create a 10-year capital plan on roof replacement.
Have we mapped out what the capital plan looks like?
Yes, we have. It's actually available online on the town's website, and this is the beginning of that process, and we have projects that are on that plan up until 2020.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir, before you leave, could you just give us your name and address? Once again, the town clerk didn't catch it.
Sure. Michael Ensley, 598 Peckham Road.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes. Could the Boy Scout in the balcony pass that? Well, let's start it in the middle, and then we'll work our way down. Sir, when you finish speaking, there'll be someone to your right that you're going to be passing that to. Is anybody in the lecture hall who wishes to be heard? You're welcome to come into the auditorium.
Hi, Dave Jarzinker, Jarman Road. Could you be specific and talk about how much roof repairs or damage resulting from leaks has cost us on that roof in the last couple years? What's been our expense?
I wouldn't be able to give you that number right now. I just don't know that. There's many probably ingredients into that number. Some would be pure roofing repairs where they actually have a roofer fix what appears to be a leak. Some are tiles, ceiling tiles, that we will replace with our own maintenance staff. Some are things that get damaged on somebody's desk or on the floor or a carpet cleaning situation. Some are just labor in trying to make sure we gather that leak. So there's a lot of costs that go into it, and it's not just a roofing number. There's a lot of other smaller things that add up to a lot of cost.
Thank you.
Can you pass that mic down? Yes, sir, the gentleman who now has the mic.
Thank you. Neil Growers, 15 Colonial Road. A couple of questions. You say the estimated price is $588. That's our engineer's costs. I presume this is going to go out to bid?
Yes, it will.
Is there a possibility that the cost would come in less than that?
Yes.
Second is, you may notice that there's water damage as well in a lot of the spots. There was an earlier question on the other article about mold. Is there any suspicion that there may be mold here because of the presence of water?
No, I don't have any suspicion of that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, keep it passing down that way. You have one. Thank you.
Is it on? Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Cindy Simon, 53 Pine Street. Just a further question to Mr. Jarzinka's comments, which is monies that we are hearing about that have been spent over the last several years repairing, covering over these skylights that was part of the last roofing project. Might we expect to reduce that number at all by taking those monies that have been previously budgeted for repairs, which shouldn't need to be made for the next several years?
I don't think we would find a lot of savings. We would find some savings, but truthfully, we'll maintain this roof as soon as it's installed, and we'll maintain all the other roofs. And I think that we really wouldn't be talking about a significant amount of dollars. We will probably need that. I mean, all of these roofs, as one gets replaced, there are others that are still getting older. So we're still maintaining those roofs. So I don't think it would be a wise decision to take out some money, because we should probably continue and even, be as much more diligent that probably we have been. perhaps.
Does anybody else wish to be heard? Yes. Mike over here, please. Right there. Could you stand up, please? Can we bring the mic back? Still can't hear you. It's not on yet.
How about now?
It is now. If you can tell us what number Washington Drive you live at.
47.
Thank you.
The town is being asked to consider an investment that has an expressed useful life of 20 years. This is already a 54-year-old facility, and as you demonstrated quite well, it's got a lot of problems. Has the town done any type of useful life analysis, and are we committed to this building having an at least 20-year useful life to amortize the cost of this roof repair, or is it likely that this building in its entirety will be up for replacement within the span of that we're considering here? Thank you.
I do not believe the town has done a useful life survey of the building, and I do believe that we will use that building for at least the next 20 years.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, can we have a mic down here?
Diana Warren, 32 Old Framingham Road, number 30. You have a number of roofs that are on schedule for repair over the next, you said, 10 years. How many roofs are there? How many buildings are there? And was Fairbanks chosen to be first because it's the most serious problem?
I believe there are 19 roofs in the survey. There may be a couple others that weren't included in the survey. I'm not exactly sure. But, no, the first roof, I believe, was noise. And that we did that. And that was a great project. There was also the senior center roof that was on the survey, and we got that one done too. And then auditorium roof. So now we'll get the Nixon, we'll get Fairbank, and we'll make sure we keep this plan in place.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, over there, please. No, that's you. Yes, stand up, young lady. No, unless you're a young lady, sit down.
This is an easy one. Point of clarification. Sorry, Myron. You tell me this every single time. Tammy Dufault, 84 Silver Hill Road. Mr. O'Brien, when you referenced the selectman's opinion on this article, I believe that you said it was 2-4 and 1 against. Can you just clarify that?
You heard me correctly, Ms. Dufault. 2 in favor, 1 opposed.
And can we understand why one of the selectmen was opposed?
Yeah, I oppose the article, not because I don't think the roof needs to be fixed. My father was actually a home inspector, and I spent many a time on top of roofs with him inspecting roofs myself, and I know when a roof needs to be fixed. I'm concerned about the building, and I'm concerned about using it for the next 20 years. I know the tenants that are in there, and they're already complaining about it. You know, we need a community center that's worthy of the community of Sudbury. I think our seniors would like to have a better community center, one where it's not just a senior center, but a community center where they could also interact with teens. I think we could have a music studio. I think we could have a computer lab with seniors and teens working together. I think we could have a better facility for our pool and perhaps another pool, perhaps a lap pool, perhaps a fitness center, similar to the rec center that Concord has, if you're familiar with that beautiful facility. And that facility was built by raising private money, which is exactly what Sudbury did to build that beautiful new Haskell Playground for All, which is where all children, disabled or otherwise, could play. I would like to follow that same model and do that and build a recreational center at Fairbanks that's worthy of the community of Sudbury. And my fear is that if we spend $600,000 on this roof now, at some point in the next 20 years, we might have to rip that roof down when we do construction to build a newer, better recreational facility. And Jim Kelly and I have had this conversation. Jim's doing his job. This is exactly what he should be doing. He's the building guy in town. He should find bad roofs and recommend that we fix them. It's our job at a bigger level to come up with the right strategy for the facilities and services the people of Sudbury should have.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, sir. Could you stand up? Can we get a mic down here? Right here, this side, right behind you.
Okay, there we go.
Should be on already.
It is. Seth Kaplan, 17 Douglas Drive. What led to the selection of PVC as opposed to any other material? You said you were going out for bids on this, so I'm wondering what would constitute the bid process in terms of material selection?
The PVC was recommended by the roofing engineer, Russo Barr Associates, who did our roof survey. They use PVC in the noise roof, and one of the really great features of the PVC, as I understand, are the seams are actually heat welded, unlike the EPDM where we use an adhesive, and that's oftentimes where these rubber roofs show failure. So these welded seams, they actually, with that heat, they blend into one big sheet.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, could you stand up, please? And can we get a mic? There we go.
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Gordon Massey, 16 Cape Bread Drive. I was wondering if this roof has any previous debt that's unpaid on it?
No. It doesn't.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes. Can we get a mic back? Nope.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Here we are. I feel like I'm at Lavender singing karaoke. quick question. Is there any possible way we could hire within? I mean, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on these roofs. Can we have any, like, people that work for the town, maybe hire an engineer to possibly do the work within the town, have some of the workers or get a crew? Would that be feasible?
Can we just have your name and address for the record?
It's Richard Polson, 235 Willis Road, Sudbury.
Yes, Mr. Kelly.
Richard, I don't think for this kind of project that would be feasible, but I will say it's amazing how many volunteers this town has that do so many things around town. So your point is actually happening out there, but for this kind of work, this is really significant. I mean, this is the big time stuff. So I don't think so.
Anybody else wish to be heard before we vote? Can you stand up, please?
Laurie Abrams, 48 Horse Pond Road. Jim, would it be possible to keep the pool section going and just looking at what Selectman Hardy was saying, and the rest of it was all classroom portions, as to keeping the Atkinson Pool part going and rebuild the whole senior center and then work it that way? If the building's old.
Well, the locker rooms are under this flat rubber roof portion right now. So you couldn't lose the locker rooms and maintain the pool use.
So. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2? Please stand, please. Mike coming that way.
Hello.
Yep.
Yes, I. Jay Corcoran, 56 Lanham Road. Is it possible that we could not use the same contract that boarded over those skylights and put all those sharp edges on the membranes that caused all these leaks next time we do this? It is. And is it possible that we can just remove the skylights, flat roof where those spots, you know, are causing the leaks? It seems like a pretty simple process. I'm in the construction trades myself. Thank you.
That is actually the plan.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 2 before we vote? I see no one. Please stand up.
Andrew Sullivan, 28 French Road. Is there a town master plan for the rec center and senior center that's available online, or has there been thought given to a, as Selectman Hardy said, a long-term vision for what the town thinks of the senior center? Thank you.
No. Anybody else wish to be heard? Okay. Yes. The question has been called. If anyone wishes to add new information, could you please raise your card? There is two people who wish to speak for the benefit of those who are about to vote on the call of the question. It's a two-thirds vote. It's required that I take the vote once it's done. I'm sorry? You'd raise your card had I called on you. Okay. So there's two people, for the benefit of the hall, there are two people who wish to add new information to the discussion. Please consider that when you vote. All those in favor of the call of the question signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it does not receive a two-thirds vote. Sir, would you like to speak? Could you stand, please? Can we get a mic over here?
Craig Gruber, 187 Goodmans Hill Road. Is there a reason that we have not looked into the plan that Selectman Hardy has proposed?
Hank,
is there a reason why we have not looked into the plan?
Well, Mr. Hardy may want to add to the answer, but the first time that the issue was raised at a Board of Selectmen's meeting, to my recollection, was last week when Mr. Kelly came in and presented this roof. It might have happened, I apologize. Actually, I think Mr. Hardy may have raised the idea in discussion last year when this roof was under consideration for the last year's annual town meeting, but there's been no study done on it. There's no concept plan. You have the Park and Rec Department. You have the Sudbury Public School Administration. You have the Senior Center. And the pool itself, so that would undertake some study in how much what would the concept be, what would the building look like, how much would it cost, those that would take some time to put all together, and that has not nothing like that has been done as of yet. I don't know if you want to add.
Sounds like that could be time well spent.
Was there one more hand over there that was up? Could you stand up, please?
Myron, I was going to add.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a second. Can you just get that mic and bring it to the gentleman over there whose hand is up? And Mr. Hardy, could you answer the question?
Yeah, no, to add my explanation to your question, I think Larry O'Brien was right on. I did bring it up last year for the first time, and again recently as this discussion has come up. The chairman of the Board of Selectmen sets the agenda as to what we work on and what projects we pursue, and he's the only one that can really answer why we haven't pursued it since I originally raised it.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Dave Livingston, North Scott Road, Council on Aging. We have been told rather informally that part of the town's plan was to have the school administration move out of Fairbank in a few years. I don't know if that's true. If that's true, I would think it would make sense to delay this because this Council on Aging has been doing some strategic planning, and we have found we're very short on room. When we look at the rooms in the Fairbank School, we find them unsatisfactory. They're 60-year-old classrooms for kindergarten kids. We would hope to have a community center built in some number of years. We're doing some looking at other towns to see what would make sense. We have met with the Park and Rec Commissioners to begin working with them on this. And if all those things are true and make sense, and the school administration is going to move out of that building, I think it might make sense to delay this. Okay. I'd also add, regarding the locker rooms, I know that when the Atkinson Pool was built, the Sudbury Foundation was very disappointed that they couldn't have adequate locker rooms. The locker rooms there are limited by the size of an old classroom. So that also would suggest perhaps a delay.
The two people whose hands were up were raised. Why don't we take one more question and then we'll call for a vote. Could you stand up, sir? And can we get a mic over here?
Hi, Mark Kuczynski, 15 Blandford Drive. Could the roof last long enough to study the possible renovation or a new facility?
I wouldn't recommend waiting at all on this roof. We would have to come and find funds to have the study. I mean, I don't know how long that would take, but I don't think we should wait. I don't think we should wait at all on this roof. This roof needs to be replaced. The building's a great building. It's got good bones. I don't think we should tear it down.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody who wishes to add new information, please raise your card. Why don't we start here? Then we'll move back. We have a mic right here in front.
Lisa Gutch, 64 Silver Hill Road. I would just like to add that there are a lot of children in that building, and the Park and Rec Department runs a preschool, and the teen center is there, and I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 Friday nights during the school year, there are hundreds of 7th and 8th graders in there, and that roof is in pretty bad shape. I've looked myself internally at it with Jim. So I just have some concerns about kids being in that building with a roof that's failing. I don't know how long a construction project would cost to both fund and build if we built a new, just a new building there. So just a few concerns I wanted to put out there.
Can we pass the mic to this gentleman? Could you stand up, sir? No? Yes, just press it right back. Thank you.
Dandy Pompey, 35 Haynes Road. I'd like to follow up both on what Mr. Leffington and Ms. Gutch just commented on. If we did the repair, is the Sudbury Public School Administration and school system willing to commit to stay into the building for the life of the roof?
Okay. We all set to vote? Well, we got one more. Please stand. Could you bring the... and this will be the last speaker. We had the call of the question before, and we allowed another five speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Rich Robinson, 17 Homestead Street, Sudbury Public School Committee. The school committee has no plan to move or vacate that building at this time.
Thank you. Okay. The quantum of vote in this article, because it entails borrowing... I can see you. Could you give this gentleman the mic? This is it. This is the last person.
Brian Semple, 15 Revere Road.
Oh, if I knew it was you, I never.
Mr. Fox, I'm not sure I appreciate that comment. A question from Ms. Gutch, as a member of the Sudbury Public School Committee, raised a question that I believe hinted at the safety of the roof and the safety of children being inside of Fairbanks Community Center. So that question kind of went unanswered. So I guess my question to the town or to Mr. Kelly, is this roof safe or not? If it's safe, are we allowed to have kids in there for the next year? If it's not, then we need to shut the community center down. But I object that a issue of safety like that is kind of thrown out and we just kind of let it go. So what's the answer, please?
It is safe.
Thank you.
For those of you who may not have been here earlier, there's no clapping, hissing, booing, or any other audible noises. I didn't hear you. Could you stand up, please? That was a joke. I know Brian Semple. All those in favor of Article 2, this is a two-thirds vote. All those in favor of Article 2 signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. Okay, hang on a minute. They're all set. We're going to do it again. Hang on one second. Okay, we're going to do a standing count for all those who are in favor of art. Hang on, man.
How many people are in favor of the NCC that in the chat? Okay, I'm going to take a standing count now.
All those who are in favor of Article 2, please hold your card and rise. If you're on the floor of the auditorium, you can sit down. Everyone else, keep standing. No, on the stage, stand. Sit. You may sit down in the balcony. Let's try the same thing with the negative votes. All those opposed to Article 2 signify by raising your cards and standing. The stage and the floor consist. Thank you. Okay, we're going to hang on a minute. We're going to do the negative votes one more time. I want to get a better count. All those opposed to article, I don't need the lecture hall, just in the auditorium. I have the numbers from the lecture hall. All those opposed to Article 2, please stand up and hold your cards up. Stage is all set. The balcony can sit. Can you please continue to stand here? You may be seated. Layla? The folks who checked you in are outside and can't come into the hall. I just sent someone out to count their votes, and as soon as that comes back, I'll announce the results. The results of Article 2 is that it received the majority, but not a two-thirds. It fails. We're on to Article 3. Andrea Turkelson, Finance Director.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move in the words of the article with the sum of $18,000 appropriated.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Turkelson?
Thank you. This article requests that additional funds be appropriated for the purchase of property located at 15 Hudson Road. This article received approval at the 2012 annual town meeting for an amount of $300,000. The purchase price of the property is $275,000, with an additional $25,000 voted for demolition of the structure and restoration of the property. During negotiations between the selectmen and the owners, it was noted that the real estate taxes had not been paid for the fiscal years 2010, 11, and 12, which correlates to the period of time when the owner moved out of the house into a long-term health care facility. By state law, a tax lien arises automatically on a real estate every year until the balances are paid in full. Although the lien remains in effect when taxes become delinquent, the tax collector makes a tax taking in a timely manner to protect the town's ability to collect indefinitely, regardless of any circumstances that that are outside of our control. During negotiations, the selectmen had agreed to forgive all back taxes. Unfortunately, as we got closer to the closing on the property, it became apparent that the selectmen could not authorize the forgiveness of taxes, even though the town would become the eventual owner of the property. Once the lien exists, the tax laws also prohibit the Board of Assessors from forgiving or abating uncollected taxes without the written authorization of the Department of Revenue. While we have made the requisite application to the DOR, we are still waiting for an answer. In the event the DOR does not approve our application to abate the taxes under Massachusetts Chapter 58, Section 8, we must be ready to increase the appropriation so that the taxes can be paid to the town. The funds will come from the CPA revenue and will be deposited to the town in the general fund. The exact amount will be determined by the closing date, but is slightly less than $18,000 as of this evening. We anticipate delaying the closing on the property until we get an answer from the DOR. If they approve our request, the money for this article will not be needed, and those funds will be returned to the CPA reserves for another use in the future. The Community Preservation Committee and the Board of Selectmen support this article.
Finance
Committee supports this article.
Selectman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen unanimously support this article. This is a critical expansion of the Grinnell Park westward. It will provide a great interconnection with the new Village Green project ongoing. So we urge your support. Thank you very much.
And the selectmen unanimously support the article. Does anybody wish to be heard on yes. Could you stand up, sir? Can we get a mic there?
Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. I'm missing something important here, I think. If the selectmen don't have the authority to forgive the taxes, then isn't the seller then liable for the taxes rather than the town? What this appears to be is just another way, a ruse to allow the selectmen to abate the taxes without having to actually say they're doing it. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Furthermore, this idea that this is a critical extension to Grinnell Park. Grinnell Park's been the way it's been since around the time of the First World War. Nothing is going to be lost if we wait for the state to make its decision on that. And as far as its impact on the Village Green is a private property, as far as I know. And what difference does it make to the town whether the Village Green gets what they want as far as the purchase of that house is concerned? The more I hear about this, the less I like it.
Ms. Turkelson?
I can speak to the first question.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure. Mr. Coe, you're correct that the selectmen do not have the authorization to abate the taxes or to forgive them, and in that instance, the owner is liable for the taxes. So, you know, because we have offered to forgive the taxes, we have gone to the Department of Revenue to request that as an option. If they deny our request, then the taxes do need to be paid by someone.
Can I need to have the law? Excuse me. Please don't speak unless recognized. I need a CPC recommendation on this article. It's required by law. Can someone from the CPC come forward and tell us they're in favor or opposed to this? That's the Community Preservation Commission, and that's where the funds are coming from under this article.
Hi.
Yes.
Chris Morley, you just said chair of the Community Preservation Committee. I thought Andrea covered me by saying that the CPC supported this article.
I did not.
Andrea said that we did.
I'm sorry.
I am now saying that we did as well.
I need to hear it from you.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. The CPC, it's a requirement of law that no expenditure should come from the CPC fund unless the CPC supports that.
Can I just say to Mr. Coe's point that the forgiveness of taxes was part of the negotiated price of the property? So the fact that the taxes can't be forgiven technically does not then rebound on the seller. It rebounds on the buyer.
Okay. Could you stand up, please? Can we get a mic up front here? Did everybody hear that? Excuse me, ma'am. Before you speak, Mr. Morley, could you just repeat that with the mic real close and rather loudly?
I'm sorry. It's hard to tell. So louder still, really? I still want to blast you out of the room. The part of the negotiated price was the forgiveness of back taxes of this person who has gone on to, as they said, long-term health care. So the fact that now one hand of the town government has to pay the other hand of the town government to make it technically okay by the Department of Revenue does not bear on the purchase price agreed with the buyer.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Siobhan Hollinger, 55 Washington Drive. Can I just ask why this was structured this way? Why you wouldn't have just negotiated the purchase price to include this taxes and then the seller pays the taxes? Why is it done in this manner?
Can anybody answer that question up front here?
I can't say necessarily why it was done. It just sort of came together that way in terms of the deal that was negotiated at the time. The belief was that the selectmen could do this abatement, and it turned out afterwards found out that they could not. Had we known that at the time, we definitely would have included it in the original appropriation request.
Okay, so doesn't that make that contract null and void because they negotiated a contract and didn't have the authority to do that?
Town Council would rule in on that one, but again, the intent of the board, and they can speak for themselves, but is that they and the Community Preservation Committee, if they'd like to have this project done, they agreed to it,
sure.
The equivalent of that dollar amount. It's how the net is paid.
I would actually like to hear from the person who did negotiate this contract. Who negotiated the contract from the board?
Hang on a minute. Just to make it clear, I've been letting this go. All questions come through me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then I'll find someone to answer your question.
Oh, okay.
I have it.
So
you want to know if the contract's legal? Is that the question?
Well, yeah, I guess that's
right.
What's come up.
Town Council hopefully can answer that question.
Contract is legal.
Okay.
Seriously?
Anybody wish to be heard on this article? Could you stand up, sir? Can you wait for the mic?
Joseph Honorato, Tulian Circle. If in a real estate closing there is a tax lien...
Mike.
Is it on?
It's on. You have to get it closer.
Okay. If in a real estate closing there is a tax lien that is not resolved at the closing, doesn't that tax lien transfer to the owner of the property, the new owner of the property?
The answer is yes and no.
So it seems to me...
the tax is against the property. So if somebody bought the property without the taxes being paid, the taxes would run with the property. In this particular case, the town is the buyer of the property, so the taxes run with the town, which is what they're asking for now. The money that's under this will be coming back to the town in any event. The problem was with the Department of Revenue.
It's just in a different bucket. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Anybody else wish to be heard on this article? Could you stand up, please?
Rick Johnson, 38 Bent Road. Ms. Turkleton said that they didn't know that there was back taxes due, and yet somebody else said that they knew the taxes were due. Could you clarify that, please?
Ms. Turkleton?
I think I mentioned that the taxes were discussed during the negotiation. The problem was with this particular type of deal, even though the town is retaining or taking ownership of the property, those taxes that are unpaid must be paid in some form.
A follow-up question. So who said that we could buy the property like this? Whose advice was it that now we have to come back and do it all over again? So who gave us the wrong advice in the first place?
Can we give up that mic back, Mr. Johnson, so we can get it to the next person when the question's answered?
There were a number of people involved in negotiating this particular contract. It has... there are issues that were separate from the actual negotiation, but clearly impacted them. The normal way that you take care of something like this is you file with the Department of Revenue what they call as a petition under Chapter 58, Section 8. The Department of Revenue is always, in my memory, approve these. For some reason, the Department of Revenue is now at a position where they say, well, we're not going to approve them anymore. Every once in a while, the Department of Revenue changes its way of thinking. So we have reapplied to the Department of Revenue and advised them what the entire situation is and what other outstanding liens might be against the property. And they're reviewing this again. But as I indicated before, the town isn't paying this other than it's coming right back to the town. So the people that were involved are getting the same amount of money, the same situation that was negotiated by a number of people in the town will be resolved at the same level. So the people who are buying the property will get no more, and the town will not have to pay any more than they negotiated because that money will come right back into the town coffers.
Anybody else wish to be heard? There's a gentleman in the back of the hall there. Can we get a mic up there? All the way back. Could you stand up, please? And there was someone in the back of the hall on the floor who had his hands raised. Can you stand? Call the question. Just tell me how many people would like to add some new information to this discussion. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, the question's been called. We're going to take a vote on the call of the question. Does that receive a second, by the way? It does. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. Those opposed?
Just let me check with the lecture hall. It received well more than two-thirds. We'll now vote on Article 3. This does not require a two-thirds vote. It's a majority vote. All those in favor of the $18,000 appropriation in Article 3 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? Hang on. Article, we have the vote in both the lecture hall and here, and it's overwhelmingly in favor. It receives well more than a majority. We're going to move on to Article 4. Is the but before we take up this petition article, I wish to remind the hall, particularly those of you who came a little late, that our tradition in this town meeting has always been not to permit irrelevant or disrespectful comments. On the first point at issue on this motion under Article 4 is only whether or not we should increase the number of selectmen from 3 to 5. It is solely about the structure of our executive branch. On the second point of being no disrespectful comments, they will not be tolerated at this or any other town meeting at which I have the honor to preside. Town Meeting Times, our parliamentary procedure book, further specifically states, quote, no person in speaking is to indulge in personalities, end quote. With that in mind, I call forward the proponent of Article 4 to make a motion, please. Is that Michael Triano? Thank you.
Move in the language of Article 4, a change from a board of 3 selectmen to a board of 5.
Hang on a second. Mr. Triano, were you moving in the words of the article?
Yes, sir.
It was a little more extensive. Could you change your motion to that?
Change the motion to the words of the...
I move in the words of the article.
Oh, sure. I move in the words of the article.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Triano.
Sure.
Just your address, please.
It's Triano, T-R-O-I-A-N-O, and I live at 342 Lincoln Road.
Thank you.
Okay. These are the words of the article that we seek to change. And our case for making this change really sums up to a pretty simple idea. We believe that more representatives will equal more representation for the people of the town. As background, this request is made on 5 prior occasions, starting in 1961. Studies have been conducted, committees have weighed in, arguments have been made, all in favor of this change. 135 other Massachusetts towns have done so as they grew, and 0 have gone back to 3. Today, there are 11 Massachusetts towns our size or larger who share both our town meeting form of government and our AAA bond rating. 9 of them now have 5-member boards. as do the majority of our neighboring towns. Each time this motion has been presented in Sudbury, though, the handful of people in power have opposed it. Where it's been put to a vote, it's been defeated by a compliant electorate. Our selectmen will come out in opposition to this article in a few minutes. This change will dilute their individual power, and while we've tried to air our case for the measure out in the open, they have only tonight taken a stand on the issue. When this change was proposed in 2010, they felt the idea had not been, quote, fully vetted, unquote, that it should be studied in more detail before proceeding. But we have now done so. A grassroots group of concerned citizens, neighbors and friends on both sides of the political spectrum, worked together to obtain the signatures of 264 like-minded neighbors in just 72 hours. That's more than 2.5 times the number required, according to our, town charter, to put this question to tonight's town meeting. Yet having cleared that hurdle, having followed all the rules of our charter defined for this kind of thing, we'll hear the same reservation tonight. What's the rush? Let me repeat my opening comment. Our town has been talking about the change from 3 to 5 selectmen since 1961. We've spent the 15 weeks since June of this year, when our 3-member board was paralyzed by the recusal of its chairman on advice of council, kicking around ideas about how best to drive transparency and accountability among our elected officials. After settling on increasing the size of the board over approaches more likely to divide the town, we've spent the last 5 weeks working to get the word out. It seems to me that, judging by tonight's turnout, we did a pretty good job. For those still concerned about moving too fast, I would make 2 more important points. The first is that this is a long way from seminal change, as it was called in a recent Patch article. We have a board of selectmen now, and we will have one then. We have a town manager now, along with a town clerk, a town treasurer, trustees, defined processes, set rules, codified procedures, committees, departments, all of it unchanged by this measure. We're asking to move from a 3-person group at the top to a 5-person group. Is this such a profound altering of our method of government that 51 years isn't enough time to reflect on it? Next, I would point out that when this measure passes, we will not automatically move from a 3 to a 5-member board. The town of Rehoboth's story is worth sharing in this respect. Their selectmen resisted this measure as well after it was approved in a special town meeting just like this one. After a period of inaction, a special resolution was added to the ballot, and after it passed and the chairman was removed, the measure was submitted for review by the state legislature. Eventually, the measure was passed and signed into law by the governor. After that came the normal election cycle, with the end result that it took 1 year and 5 months to make the change the people wanted. It needn't take us that long, but the vote we take tonight will not end this process. It will begin it. So are we moving too fast? I hardly think so. Other concerns have been raised about the possible impact of this change on our bond rating. But we know the drivers of our bond rating. They're stated clearly by our bonding agency on the town's own website. You can see them here. As you can imagine, our number of selectmen did not make the top 4. We can't imagine it made the top 25 and are prepared to present expert testimony on the risk factors associated with municipal bond markets if it is required tonight. The last time this was discussed, in 2010, our selectmen expressed the view that 3 were more than able to handle the town's business, that with the advent of a town manager, they were, quote, not overworked. I was surprised to learn a few weeks ago that Sudbury has no less than 92 committees and departments of the town and the selectmen. Each of our board members now serves as a member of at least 2 of these committees and as a liaison for numerous other bodies, negotiating and communicating on our collective behalf. We've asked people serving in these bodies a simple question. When is the last time a board of selectmen liaison showed up at a committee meeting? Their number one answer was, you know, I don't know. We don't blame our current selectmen for this. The change from 3 to 5 members, however, will make a more satisfying response to that question, 67% more likely. Adding board capacity will encourage a closer and more focused working relationship with these committees, each of which was important enough to establish in the first place. It is one thing to say the current board is not overworked, quite another to claim that the town's work is better done by 3 service-minded but unpaid volunteers than it would be with 5. 3 selectmen may well be able to keep up with the demands of the board, but they are almost certainly unable to thoughtfully define and proactively advance the collective interests of our town, with such items as a long-term facilities plan, for example. Others have suggested that while all that may be true, we can't find 5 good people willing to serve. Sudbury is a town of big families and big mortgages. We're all busy, and when the town we love is running well, there are more important things for us to do than get involved. Despite this, 9 citizens pulled papers to run for selectmen in the last few years. Many decided not to run for fear of facing entrenched incumbents, but would welcome an opportunity to serve the town. More recently, an awakening of sorts has occurred in a large number of our citizens for reasons noble and ignoble. This issue has activated people like me, Joel Malo, Brendan Burke, Pepper Riley, Chris Skiffington. Most of you don't know these names, and that's exactly my point. These are new faces and new ideas in our town. We're parents first, moderate Republicans and Democrats second. We care about this town, and we certainly care about its schools. I am confident others will step forward to serve when given the opportunity. With those arguments exhausted, you may hear tonight that it just ain't broke. So why fix it? Quoting the board in 2010, quote, three selectmen focus on the greatest good for what is best for Sudbury without the political infighting which might occur with more members. As fellow citizens, I ask you now, is our community free of political infighting? The truth is we have a problem in our town. Some attribute it to a concentration of power in the hands of too few for too long. Others have felt underrepresented by our current board and by our town government on a whole host of recent issues. Still, others applaud the efforts of our current selectmen, but feel the balanced addition of new blood would bring fresh perspective and fresh air into a political debate that has become all too often polarized and all too rarely productive. To a person, though, the most compelling question we've asked people is this one. Who speaks for you? The vast majority of people said they didn't know, and we believe that that is a driver of the toxic political environment in our town. When people don't have a representative they feel they can turn to, they express their displeasure through less productive means.
Mr. Triano, what's the point of order, please? And that's exactly. No, I actually am listening pretty closely, and I don't think he's been outside the bounds. A point of order has been made. I appreciate it. It's not in effect. Mr. Triano, could you continue, please?
Absent sufficient representation, people express their displeasure through less productive means. They leave anonymous angry comments and patch articles, throw rocks at the opposition. It gets personal, and it happens on both sides. A single action will address all of these root causes. More representation of our diverse points of view and more capacity to pursue the facts behind important decisions, solicit citizens' input, and debate the questions that remain will make it possible to create one Sudbury again. And I promise you that in the end, that's what we all want and why we have chosen to focus on enlarging the current board. The foundation of the town meeting tradition is the belief that the argument able to build the most popular support in a public forum is probably the one that will benefit the most people. Rather than kick this can down the road, as will be suggested momentarily, or let others decide whether we've met that standard, let's take control of the situation ourselves. Let's turn toward being a town where we debate our biggest questions as neighbors in the light of open forums, and away from one where a few call the shots, a few call them names, and the rest of us don't really pay attention until somebody's bad judgment makes it impossible to look away. Join us in passing this measure tonight and start the journey back toward the transparency and accountability that will ensure Sudbury's future is as bright as its storied past. Thank you.
Does the finance... No. Remember what we said, please. No clapping, no booing. Just, you can do so by your vote. Can we have the Finance Committee position, please?
We take no position.
Okay. The Finance Committee... the Finance Committee is asked in our bylaw to take position on moneyed articles. This is not a moneyed article. They've taken no position. The Selectmen?
Selectmen take the position, two opposed, one in favor.
Take two opposed, in favor or opposed to the?
Two opposed to the article, one in favor of the article, Mr.
Thank
Moderator.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on this article, please raise your card. Right there. Could you stand up? You haven't spoken yet.
John Baranowski, Belcher Drive. Does the public safety take a position on this article?
Public? Who in particular?
Whoever public safety is in the town of Sudbury.
Okay. The police chief and fire chief aren't here. Ms.
It's not been discussed or asked to take any positions.
The answer is there is no position by those people. Yes, this gentleman in front. You need the microphone?
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to offer an amendment.
Oh, okay. Can we need your name and hang on to the mic. We need a name and address for the record.
Stan Kaplan, 98 Victoria Road.
Okay. Do you want to come over here and I need a copy and the... Yes, technology administrator. Yes, right there. Hang on 1 minute.
Sir, you want to take this? Thank you very much.
Hang on a minute. Can you put, Mark, can you put that up on the view graph, the amendment? What's that? Right. Okay. Well, while it's being typed, Mr. Kaplan, why don't you read it?
Okay.
And speak closely to the mic.
Good evening, Mr. Moderator, honorable town officials, and Sudbury residents. I move that Article 4 be referred to the Board of Directors, to the Board of Selectmen and the Finance Committee to appoint a committee of 9 registered voters to carefully study, investigate, research, and report back their findings relative to changing the BOS from 3 to 5 members for consideration at the 2013 annual town meeting.
Mr. Kaplan, could you change BOS to Board of Selectmen?
Board of Selectmen, yes, sir.
Okay. Does that receive a second? It does. I rule that the amendment is within the four corners of the article, so you may make a 5-minute presentation of...
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I offer this amendment for the following reasons. I do not yet know whether a 3-member board of selectmen or a 5-member board of selectmen is right for Sudbury. I simply do not have all the facts, nor have I received a recommendation from a nonpartisan group after carefully studying the matter. What I do know is that over 130 charter commissions have been elected since the adoption of the Home Rule Amendment to the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in 1966. In Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 43B, the legislature describes in great detail all of the procedures a town or city must follow to change its corporate charter. Changing the town's corporate charter should be a deliberative process. In fact, the last time Sudbury changed its corporate charter was in 1994, when the town adopted a town manager form of government. The process required a vote at the town meeting to move the process forward and a ballot vote of registered voters for passage. So why, then, should Sudbury voters suddenly be asked to change the town's corporate charter tonight through a lesser noticed and lesser attended special town meeting? I ask you, does this level of public scrutiny proposed here this evening in Article 4 comfort you or alarm you? Every town is unique. The proponents of Article 4 argue that because Wayland has a 5-member board of selectmen and Acton has a 5-member board of selectmen, that Sudbury should adopt a 5-member board of selectmen. I suggest to you that this argument is specious. Sudbury has a unique colonial character, a history of independence which should be nurtured, not homogenized. Just like a partner town, the town of Lincoln, where a 3-member board of selectmen continues unabated. So what I'm objecting to here is not the number of selectmen, What I'm objecting to is the process. A special town meeting simply is not the appropriate venue for such a decisive change to the town's governance. This matter should be brought before an annual town meeting for all voters to consider and not decided through a lesser notice and lesser attended special town meeting. Anything less would be expediency at its worst, a short circuit to the principles, guidelines, and requirements established by Massachusetts law. For all of the above reasons, I ask the good people of Sudbury here tonight to vote in favor of this amendment and to support an appointment of 9 registered voters to carefully study, investigate, research, and report back their findings to the 2013 annual meeting. Let's do it right. Thank you.
Okay. So we're now off the main motion, and we're now going to talk about whether or not we should refer this, the amendment is, whether or not we should refer this to the Selectman FinCom to appoint a committee of 9 members to study the issue and report back to the annual town meeting. So that's the discussion will not be on this amendment, whether or not it's a good idea to have 3 or 5 selectmen, but whether or not you want to vote in favor of this amendment. So, can I see hands of people who would like to speak on this? Yes, sir, on the aisle.
Robert Abrams, 48 Horse Pond Road. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. As you pointed out earlier tonight, Mr. Moderator, there are a lot of new faces here. That is encouraging. You mentioned, and I want to reiterate because I think it's important to what we're talking about tonight, that for those of you who have not attended town meeting regularly before, you are the legislators. You decide tonight whether or not the article will be amended, whether or not the article will be passed or defeated, whether or not we'll start the process of going from 3 selectmen to 5. In doing so, you've come here to listen to the arguments and make a decision based on the arguments you hear, I think it's particularly important that you understand the facts. The facts that were just stated at the podium are incorrect. I went back and I looked at the record of our town meeting from 1994. I see a few faces in the hall who were here. Some of them may have remembered on their own. I didn't remember on my own. I had to go look it up. But what we did in 1994, which was a much larger change than what we're talking about now, what we did then, we did according to the exact same procedure that Mr. Troiano has used tonight. We did not have a charter commission. That is wrong. We did not use Chapter 43B of the General Laws of the Commonwealth, which talks about charter commissions, and it's true. It can be done that way. That's an option that the state government gives a city or town. And if you want to do something really big, like change your charter from a town charter to a city charter, you want to go from a town meeting to a mayor and a city council, maybe you ought to use Chapter 43B and go that route. Sudbury didn't do that in 1994. There's more than one procedure in the state law that allows us to do this if we want to do it. The procedure that we used in 1994 is somebody made a motion, just like Mr. Troiano did tonight, to change our charter and to ask the Massachusetts legislature to pass a special act of the legislature to create the charter that we have today. Town meeting voted for it. Whether or not there is a vote at the ballot box, which may happen, was not tied to the article the town meeting passed. After town meeting passed the article in 1994, and everything I'm telling you was right in the town report in 1994, if you question it, you can go back and look. The town then brought a petition to the state legislature, said, our town meeting voted to change our charter. Please give us a special act. The legislature passed the special act. It was Chapter 131 of the Acts of 1994, and that's the procedure that was used, and that's the procedure that was before you on the motion before this amendment was made. Now, if you go on the website for the state and you look up how many cities and towns have charters under Chapter 43B, which is the procedure that Mr. Kaplan just referred to, you'll find that there are about 45 of them, and Sudbury isn't one of them.
Mr. Abrams, could you come around to why this is a good idea, this amendment's a good idea or a bad idea?
The amendment is a bad idea because it's been presented with inaccurate facts, Mr. Moderator. You were at the town meeting in 1994, Mr. Moderator. You know what the facts are. My argument, I am trying to give this hall all of the inaccurate statements that Mr. Kaplan has made. I've only gotten to two or three of them. I'd like to give the hall, who's going to be asked to vote this amendment up or down, the rest of the inaccurate statements that Mr. Kaplan made. If you go to the state website and you look for cities and towns that have adopted their charter by a special act of the legislature,
Mr. Abrams,
you will find that there are...
Mr. Abrams, hang on a sec. That little beeping noise means the 5 minutes are up, so I need permission from the hall to let you continue.
Thank you, Mr.
About how much longer do you think you need?
Couple of minutes, Mr. Moderator.
Okay. Hang on. All those in favor of giving Mr. Abrams a few more minutes, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? Thank you. Hang on 1 second. Mr. Abrams, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. If you check the state website, you will find that there are also approximately 40 to 45 cities and towns that have changed their charter from 3 selectmen to 5 selectmen with a special act of the legislature. So if you want to consider Mr. Kaplan's amendment to send this to some kind of a committee to be studied, which is yet again a delay of the ultimate vote, you may do that, and I respect your right to do it, but please don't do it based on the facts that Mr. Kaplan gave you. They're wrong. He also pointed out to you that this is a bad idea because it's a special town meeting. Well, I've been coming to town meeting in Sudbury for 40 years. When I first got here, I lived on Victoria Road. Mr. Kaplan was a neighbor. I don't see him at town meeting very often. But he came out for this. Let me tell you something. In all of the town meetings that I've come to in the last 40 years, it's been a very rare occasion when we filled this hall, we filled the balcony, we've had to go into the lecture hall across the hall. Oh, yeah, it's happened 3 or 4 times in the last 40 years. It doesn't happen very often. You won't get as many people on the issue at a regular town meeting as you will at this special. And that's why the amendment should be defeated. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Yes, sir. Can we get a mic down here in front? Yeah, that's fine.
Bob Hardy, 37 Belcher Drive. I see a lot of new faces here in the audience, and this is not my first rodeo, so I just wanted to take a second to explain what's going on here. This amendment has been proposed to Mr. Troiano's article to give the power back to the Board of Selectmen to study this article. And we've seen this happen in the past, and I just want to explain, once the power goes back to the Board of Selectmen to study it, it can stay there for a very, very long time. There's been a few things that we've studied in the town of Sudbury over the last few decades, like the rail trail, the police station, the sewer, the Maloney gravel pit, the Northwoods development. So I just want to caution you that this is not necessarily about studying, and perhaps this is more about indefinite delay.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, sir, could you stand?
Steve Siebert, 20 Meta Comet Way. In 1994, prior to, and Mr. Abrams, I'm sure, has 25 years more experience at these meetings than I, but the fact of the matter is I do recall that prior to the request to the state legislature for a change in charter, there was a study evaluating the merits of going to a town manager system. It wasn't decided purely on a vote at a special town meeting. There was study, and up till now, other than a few, appears to me, partisan requests for this original article, no study really has been given other than some dissatisfaction. So while this amendment may not have the background that Mr. Abrams claims, the purpose of this amendment certainly, I feel, is very valid. He might have gotten his facts wrong. He might have gotten some of his dates wrong. No matter, what we're talking about is this amendment here to further evaluate the merits of going from a 3 to 5, not just because a Wayland or an Acton or, God forbid, a Maynard went to a 5-person board. Thank you.
Sir, can I just have your name and address for the record?
John Drabinski, 94 Woodside Road. And I respect my colleague, Mr. Hardy, very much, and I enjoy working with him. And John Drabinski, 94 Woodside Road. I respect my colleague, Mr. Hardy, very much, and I enjoy working with him. I do disagree with him. If you refer this to the Board of Selectmen, we're going to report out at the annual town meeting. I have no problem going from 3 to 5 selectmen. That is not the issue. My concern is that we do this correctly in a way that's going to pass the legislature in a way that's going to benefit everyone in Sudbury. I don't assume my position as a member of the Board of Selectmen is power. I'm like everyone else in this audience. I've raised children in this town. I've worked in this town. I've watched our kids play on soccer fields, lacrosse fields. I don't feel any different than anyone in this room. Just because Mr. Hardy and Mr. O'Brien and I sit up there just means we're committed to the community. We may not always agree on issues, and that's okay, because that means there is a diversity of opinion. But I think it's important that if we make this decision, and I'm fully behind it, if this is what we want to do, that we do it in a thoughtful manner and that the unintended consequences don't come back to haunt us. I have no problem going from 3 to 5 selectmen, and I welcome more colleagues. I just hope that we do this the right way, and at the end of the day, we're totally proud of everything in Sudbury. I'm extremely proud of this community, and we all are.
Speaking on the amendment.
I was saying if this gets referred to the Board of Selectmen, we are committed to making this happen. Thank you.
Yes. Over here.
I'm Judy Deutsch from 41 Concord Road. And I'm speaking in favor of the amendment because, number one, it doesn't say that it's the Board of Selectmen who will choose the study committee. It says the Board of Selectmen and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 members of the Finance Committee. Secondly, it doesn't say that the study can die. It says that it has to be reported back to the 2013 annual town meeting. And I think that this is the kind of deliberation that we need to make a recommendation to the legislature about such an important change in our town.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
I'm Matt Skelly, 45 Shadow Oak Drive. I'd like to raise a point against the amendment. When this issue was raised in 2010, it was indefinitely postponed. We did hear the same responses that it deserves deliberation. If we delay this to the next April town meeting, that'll be 3 years of deliberation. I do ask whether, let me put it this way, 3 years, to my mind, means that the board is either incapable with three members of achieving that task or unwilling, and also unwilling to say why they're unwilling, and I see it as a delay tactic. That's my personal opinion. I say this as someone who voted for Mr. Drabinski and Mr. O'Brien. I'm a registered Democrat who supports President Obama and gives him money. Sorry, I know that'll dismay some people.
Hang on. We'll have to stick to the amendment.
I say that point because some who are supporting the measure and would be against this amendment are being portrayed around town as it's a personal issue with Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Drabinski. It is not for me. I simply think it's in the best interest of the town. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hang on 1 second. How many people wish to speak on the amendment, not on the main motion? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're going to give this another 5 minutes, and we'll call on some people. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Larry O'Brien, Boston Post Road. And if you don't know by now, I'm the chairman of the Board of Selectmen, as I've been identified as tonight a couple of times. Mr. Abrams, your points that you made are valid. The information that you provided to the hall in opposition to this amendment is correct in the fact that we do not require a charter commission. What you neglected to share with the hall, and for the benefit of the hall, in 1994, this community decided to start the process of reviewing a change to our charter, and in doing so, the Board of Selectmen went out and spent $20,000, because if you read the transcript of the meeting, there was some concern expressed by people that the money maybe wasn't the best investment. But that money was spent to hire a consultant who was advised the town and was provided by the Mass Municipal Association. That process was then aided and supported by a blue ribbon committee, of which Mrs. Rupenian right down here in the front row was an advocate for the creation of that committee, and many citizens served on that, and they brought forth, that committee brought forth, not a citizen petition, not something that was put together by people, but that committee brought forth an extensive article that went through what appears to be about 2.5 nights worth of debate with many changes and amendments made to that article. Then when that article did finally succeed in passing town meeting, it went to the legislature where it was approved and it was returned to the town of Sudbury for a vote of the citizens of Sudbury. And that is how the entire change to our charter took place, through the process that has been brought forth, and as Mr. Abrams pointed out, the exact same process that's being used here. I believe that the reference made by Mr. Kaplan was that 43B of the Mass General Laws serves as an excellent guide and outline as to how to do it, and I believe that it was that outline and guide and process that was followed back in 1994. And I also support the words of Mrs. Deutsch relative to the fact that if you read closely
it is a recommendation that the Board of Selectmen, as I read it, the Board of Selectmen and the Finance Committee would come together and select 9 members of the community. 9 is the magic number because that's what's prescribed in 43B, who would then do this research and make the presentation at the 2013 annual town meeting. So I urge your support of this article so that the process can be done right. The delay of a few months to go through the process correctly and thoroughly and with an open committee that's going to look at the issues, I think is the best way for the town to go, and I urge you to vote for this amendment.
Okay, a couple more speakers, and then we're going to be done. Yes, sir, in front.
Jack Ryan, Ford Road. I just want to get up and address the issue of what happened in 1994. I was there, and what is happening now.
Mr. Ryan, can you get a little closer to the mic?
All right. Since that time.
Yes. Okay. I have your points of order. Please sit down. Mr. Ryan, I think the hall has heard a fair amount about 1994. So why don't we try to say whether or not this amendment's a good idea or a bad idea?
The question is whether or not the amendment, original article, Article 4 here, has actually been prepared in a manner which will be accepted by the legislature, legislative council, the Secretary of State's office, and the Attorney General's office. In the last 11 years, the Attorney General's office has twice rejected attempts by towns to change from 3 selectmen to 5 in a manner inconsistent with what the Attorney General's office thought was the proper procedure under the Home Rule Amendment. So that's the question. Should we take time to make sure the procedure is correct before it goes to the legislature so it doesn't get rejected by the legislature? Thank you.
On a point of order. Okay. I got 2 more people. Mr. Triano. Hang on.
I just have a quick question. I would ask the chair for clarification from the town council as to whether we have followed the rules of Sudbury as they exist today in the delivery of this article for consideration at the special town meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. One more speaker. Well, we get one from the balcony in a minute. Right here. Can you stand up, please?
Mark Kaplak, 46 Poplar Street. Mr. Kaplan has raised a number of issues in support of this amendment. One was about process, and that's why we've had a couple of people speak in reaction to what happened in 1994. The other point by Mr. Kaplan was the need to study this and what its impact would have on governance. And you might ask, well, what study is required? Isn't it pretty simple to go from 3 to 5? Well, I know of at least one aspect of our current zoning bylaw having to do with site plan approval, which falls with the Board of Selectmen, which currently says that a site plan approval in this town has to be granted by unanimous vote of the Board of Selectmen. And if we go from 3 members to 5 members without study, that is just one example of a situation in our current bylaw where I think we should analyze whether a majority vote in that particular instance for a 5-member board would make much more sense than a unanimous vote for a 3-member board. There are numerous other situations that could arise in connection with a change of this type. Would we want, for instance, to have representation across all 5 precincts in the town if we go to a 5-member board? Would that make sense in terms of meeting the distribution aspects or goals of Mr. Troiano's article? What are the other quorum requirements? What are the other council roles that the Board of Selectmen would have or not have? And lastly, if we go through a change of this type, are there other boards and committees in this town that should be considered for review? Should we have a Park and Recreation Commission by election, or should that be by appointment? Should the Board of Health be sitting on its own by election and not under the town manager's form of government?
Yeah.
This is
hang on a minute. I heard the point of order.
These are other aspects as examples by which a proper study and analysis of this type of change would benefit everyone in this room. And that's why I support this amendment.
One more speaker. Yes, sir, in the balcony.
Dave Jerzinka, 66 Jarman Road, Sudbury.
Could we please put the amendment on the board again?
It's very clear that a lot of work's gone into this amendment as I read it, and I read it very, very carefully because I think words mean a lot. That's what we're voting on. I reject the amendment flat out, and there's a big reason. I don't support findings of whether changing the board. It says nowhere assessing how is this going change going to impact Sudbury. And that's what's important. This is about assessing findings of changing a board. There's been a lot of work here tonight. Let's think about it. It's about what happens to Sudbury after the board is changed. And I'm a voter of their town, and so are you. I'm going to vote the right selectmen in that I want. They're going to represent me, and that's what our town is all about. And I just ask everybody to think about the words, because this was studied. This is about assessing the findings of board change. And that's what this meeting is not about, how boards change from 3 to 5. It's about will changing from 3 to 5 impact Sudbury and allow the right people to be elected in the town of Sudbury. And I ask you to think about that as you move forward.
Okay, we're going to vote on this amendment. We have much more to go. This is just on the amendment. This is just on the amendment. That's all we're going to vote on right now. Trust me, there's other people who are going to bring other amendments. We're going to be here all night. We have to move along. So right now we're voting on this one amendment. If this amendment passes, if you want to study this and you don't want to vote up and down tonight, then vote in favor of the amendment. If you don't wish to study it further, if you do wish to vote it up or down tonight, vote against the amendment. Is that clear to everybody? I'm going to repeat it. Okay. Hang on. Normally, no, but go ahead. Hang on. That's a good question. So what I said stood. If you want to study this and not vote up or down tonight, then vote in favor of the amendment. If you feel otherwise and would like to vote tonight up or down on whether or not to increase the Board of Selectmen from 3 to 5, vote against the amendment. In answer to this gentleman's question, if this amendment passes, Article 4 is done for the night.
Point of order, Mr. Moderator. I have a question on the procedure. I believe the process that we should have followed here would have been a motion to IP and definitely postpone the article once we got to it. Once we got to the article, to put an amendment into the article which basically indefinitely postpones the article without it ever getting to a vote, I don't see that as a proper amendment. That should have been an IP motion before the article. I think, Mr. Moderator, that this was not within the four corners of the article.
Two things. One, your way is one way to do it, to IP it. But town meeting times specifically allow for an amendment which states that they want to refer or commit this particular article to study. And it's just another way. It is an allowed way under town meeting times, and it is proper.
Okay, well, I think we all just need to understand this is not a classic amendment, and then we're going to vote on the main article. This is we're going to vote on this, and then it goes away. It's done.
I think I said that, yes. Okay. No. You can only make a point of order if someone's speaking irrelevantly. You can only make a point of order if we're about to do something illegal. So if you have a point of order that addresses one of those two things, then let's hear it. I need a name and address, and tell me what your point of order is. No. If this passes, you will not be voting on the main motion. We're voting on this amendment right now. If this amendment passes,
There is no vote on the main motion. It is referred, just like the article, just like the amendment says, it is referred to the selectmen and the finance committee to appoint a committee of nine to study it and report back to the 2013 annual town meeting. Thank you. So we're voting on this amendment. It's better be good. That is a good point of order. It's a majority vote. Both the amendment and the main motion require majority vote. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, we're now going to vote on this amendment that shows on the view graph. And I think we've gone over what the implications are if it fails, what are the implications of if it passes. All those who are in favor of the amendment, and as appears on the screen before you, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, hang on. Thank you very much. The amendment fails. No, we still got a ways to go. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 4? This, we're now on the main motion. I'm going to give it a few more minutes. Yes, in front here. Come up front. Yes.
Kirsten Van Dyke, 29 Barnett Road. I speak to you as both a resident for 17 years for the town of Sudbury, as a business owner in the town of Sudbury for 3 years, as a former member of the Sudbury Historical District, as a former president of the Sudbury Historical Society, and as a concerned citizen. I'd like to thank Mr. Troiano for bringing this Article 4 to the special town meeting, which was already scheduled. That is very good, effective management of time and resources. And I can see a growing population is evident tonight. We have an overflow in a conference room. We have a full house.
Ms. Van Dyke,
and I'll
hang
get
on,
back
hang
to
on,
the meeting.
Hang on.
This is to the point.
Not yet.
I'm getting to my point. Sorry. I'll be very quick. Growth, I feel, is the real reason why we need to move from 3 to 5 for the board. Indeed, there have been some recent activities in the town of Sudbury that may suggest other reasons for moving from 3 to 5, but the first attempt in 1961 was reactionary to the baby boom. And our population at that time, in 1961, was approximately 7,450 plus citizens. Today we have almost 11,000 more than that. The real growth in the town of Sudbury after the baby boom of the 40s, 50s, and 60s was evidenced by 1970, and we've already had construction of new schools, of Fairbanks centers, community centers, et cetera, et cetera. If we look.
Yes, what's the point of order? Excuse me? What's the point of order? Yeah, Kirsten.
Sorry, I'll be very quick.
You got to tell us why we should go from 3 to 5.
I'm in support of the article because we need more representation because we clearly have more citizens that need to be represented. We have 11,000 more residents. Am I okay? The board needs to be expanded. They need help. It's nonpartisan movement we're doing. We're voting for the future of the town. Democrat, Republican, or independent like myself, we're doing it for the future. And in 15 months, if this is going to a vote, the town will have had time to do the studies with volunteer efforts, with board members, committee members, etc. Time is of the essence. We don't have enough auditoriums as it is. We need to plan for the future. We need 5 intellectual property minds to invest in our town. Thank you.
Over here. Yes. No. On the call of the question, I rule that enough debate hadn't taken place at that juncture. Mr. Fee?
Yep.
Let's talk about where you want to put this. Hang on. Article to add after. Enough. That's not a point of order. That's it. He's asking to make an amendment. He's allowed to do that. He will now present that amendment. Mr. Fee.
I'll be quick, I promise. The motion to amend.
Name and address,
sorry,
please.
Michael Fee, 48 Henry's Mill.
Can you get a little closer to the mic?
Michael Fee, 48 Henry's Mill.
I'm sorry? Is this a point of order? We're all set. He's moving forward. Please, no more interruptions. Mr. Fee, can you make your amendment? They're going to have to type it. Why don't you read it? They'll put it up on the screen as soon as it's done.
Okay. The motion to amend Article 4 is to add the phrase, after final approval by a majority vote at the next annual town election, after the words, quote, take effect, close quote, in Article 4.
Does that amendment receive a second? It does. Mr. Fee.
I'm sorry, sir?
There is no discussion here. He's making a presentation.
There are clearly compelling reasons to amend Chapter 131. And as a member of the Planning Board for the last 10 years, I've sat on a five-member board. I know that having that organizational structure can be effective, and it can enhance the efficiency of the board. It is clear to me that the Board of Selectmen would most likely benefit from that type of change. But I don't think that we should enact this major structural reorganization of the board without ratifying tonight's vote and an annual town election vote. The Chapter 131 that we're trying to amend tonight is, in essence, the town's charter, the town's constitution. And like any organizational document, it's not prudent to amend that document in haste or without proper study. I'm not going to go into all the other reasons that other speakers have addressed tonight as to why this should be studied or addressed. That's not the issue. The issue is that this is a major decision, and in order for us to give this legitimacy and to have it take effect with finality and not be questioned in the future, it should be subject to a vote of the townspeople. Now, it's been 3 weeks since this warrant was issued, and I would respectfully suggest to you that notwithstanding all of the study that has taken place in the past on this particular issue, it's been 3 weeks since this body has had the opportunity to study and make itself familiar with these questions. Now, I know that a lot of people in the audience have very strong opinions, and I respect that. But I would suggest to you that it's not an appropriate amount of time to vet a significant decision of this magnitude. When we're talking about things like this, generally we're talking about annual town meeting, where there's an extensive process. There's public hearings, there's public discourse, there's debate, so that when people show up to cast their vote, they're informed and they understand what the issues are. I think if we don't at least give the rest of the people in the town the opportunity to vote in favor or against what we do tonight, I think forever we will have a problem with the legitimacy of this vote. So I urge you to vote in favor of the amendment to allow it, if this article passes, to be approved by a majority vote at town meeting 2013.
Okay. Anybody wish to speak? This is going to be in favor or opposed to this particular amendment. Yes. Could you stand and give your name and address? Town election he's referring to. Thank you. Okay. Who hasn't spoken yet? Over there on the aisle. Have you spoken? You, yes. Stand up.
Thank you. I'm Rick Billig, 79 Robert Best Road.
I'm holding it up.
I think that we're one of the things we all share in common here tonight is that we're a community. And we're a community of families, and, you know, the family values do make the difference. I don't believe we've had enough time to study this issue at all. In fact, our only communication with each other has been on the exterior blogs. And like moths to a light in the summer, a lot of people have been attacking each other, so emotions are clearly driving this issue. I think cooler heads make a difference. I think we can talk this thing through and figure out if it's right or wrong. I really don't give a damn if it's 10 people sitting up there or 5 or 4 or 3. I really don't care. But I think we need to understand why we're moving forward with this. We haven't had a chance as a community to discuss that. I think we should vote to approve this.
Okay. Yes, sir, right there. Yes. Can we get a mic right here? Right here.
Jeff Flop, 59 Works Road. I want to speak in favor of this amendment. For the points that Michael said, I think it's important for it to have legitimacy. In much the same way that we won't vote to do an override just from a vote in town meeting because we want that vote to have legitimacy and we do an election for that, we should do it for the same reason.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Jeff, have you spoken right there?
I have not.
Please. Hang on. Can you just wait for a mic? Can we get a mic to this gentleman?
Kevin Matthews, Haynes Road. It's my understanding that the Board of Selectmen could call this same issue to a town election at any time without this amendment. So if folks are looking for something to give this validity, if they're looking for something to take to the legislature and to talk about where the town has been, they can certainly call a town, they can put this on a ballot in the next town election. It's a mistake to make this contingent on a town election. This, you should hear the will of the people here, and then if you feel that you still have not heard the entire town, then you can certainly put this in the ballot. They can certainly put this in the ballot of the December 4th election. Or if you look at this as Michael Fee has set this up, that's not the December 4th election. Right? That's the next annual town election. So that's even a further stall on this amendment. So you need to be careful of that. And what he talks about as being a major structural reorganization is not such. You're talking about adding two selectmen. You're not talking about changing it to a town manager role. You're not talking about changing this to being a mayor. You're talking about adding two selectmen. That is not, in my mind, a structural reorganization.
Okay. Somebody from the balcony, would they like to speak? Where? Could you stand up? I can't see. All the way in the back. You haven't spoken yet. Great. Can we get a mic to this gentleman all the way in the back? A mic. There we go.
All due respect to this amendment, the previous amendment.
I need a name and address.
Anthony Fortunato, 101 Moore Road. With all due respect to this amendment, the previous amendment, or any following amendments, I think there's a huge amount of people that are here for one article tonight, and I think they want to vote on it. And I think that voting to approve this is going to not allow those people to do it. And the last vote for an amendment was overwhelmingly against it. So we can talk for hours. What you're going to get are people leaving, like it happened, like the last 10 minutes. So we should get to a vote and not have these amendments and not speak anymore.
The question has been called. The question has been called. If you'd like to add some new information, would you raise your hand and I'll count the numbers. 1, 2, 3. Okay, now we're going to vote on the call of the question. Does that receive a second? It does. All those in favor of the call of the question signify by raising your cards. This is the call of the question. Those people who want to vote on this amendment right now, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. Yikes. The question's been called. Can we put the amendment up there? Okay. We're going to vote on this amendment that you see on the view graph. This is a majority vote. All those in favor of the amendment signify by raising your cards. All those opposed.
The amendment fails. We're on the main motion. Did someone want to call a question? Okay, we're going to vote on that now. Hang on. Moving the words of the article. That's the main motion. That's what we're voting for. All those in favor of the main motion, as appears in the view grab, signify by raising your cards. Hang on. Mr. DePompei, you have a point of order? Oh. Who had a point of order? What's that?
I'm confused of whether we're voting on the call of the question or on the main motion.
We're done with the call of the question. It passed overwhelmingly. We're now on the main motion.
The call of the question on the amendment.
What's that?
Are we back to discussion of the main motion? You said we were going to vote on the main motion.
Hang on. We voted on a call of the question for the amendment, and that passed. We then voted on the amendment. That failed. We are now voting on the... We voted on the call of the question of the main motion. That passed.
That didn't even get a second.
Okay. Although... Okay. Fine. So we have not voted on the call of the question for the main motion? Okay. All those in favor of the call of the question on the main motion... Yes, what's your point of order?
We don't want to. We have enough votes.
Hang on a second. Hang on a minute. It's not a proper point of order, but this person is saying that we have yet to spend much time debating the main motion. So, all those before... Someone has called the question... Someone has pointed out that we've hardly spoken about the main motion at all, but I will say that some of the speakers about the amendment were actually talking about the main motion. So we have not yet voted on the call of the question for the main motion. So I would like to ask the hall who would like to speak for or against the main motion. For the benefit of the people who are calling it. Five. Anybody up there? Six. Seven. Seven people have raised their hands. So would you please keep that in mind on the call of the question? Normally, I wouldn't permit the vote on the call of the question because there hasn't been direct debate, but we have talked about it with respect to the amendments. But keep that in mind. It's up to the hall. All those in favor of calling the question on the main motion, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. The question has been called by way more than two-thirds. We're now going to vote on the main motion. Can we put it up on the board, please? It's exactly what you see. Move in the words of the article. All those people in favor of the words, as you see on the view graph, or in favor of Article 4, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. It required a majority vote. It passes overwhelmingly. Before you leave... We have two more articles to finish off this town meeting. So can I have the proponent for Article 5 come forward? I need your indulgence for another 15 minutes, please. We stayed to listen to your article. You might consider staying, listen to the others. Can I have the proponent for Article 5 come forward, please? Mr. Hagar, are you in the audience?
Let's go.
While the people are exiting, I will ask for the indulgence of those of you who are kind enough to stay. Does someone wish to make a motion? We need a two-thirds vote to stay beyond 10:30 to finish these two articles. Is there a second to that? All those in favor signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. Everybody here and there wants to keep going. You have it. Now, one question for the hall. Mr. Haykar has put forward this motion and got the requisite number of Sudbury citizens to sign it. He himself is not a Sudbury citizen. Without the consent of the hall, he will not be able to offer this motion or the presentation. Someone else would have to do that. So I'm going to ask for if the hall wishes to consent. Those in favor of letting Mr. Haykar make the motion, signify by raising your card. He lives in Framingham, and he brought this before three towns. Again, let me ask the question. Those of you who wish to give him permission to speak on both the motion and the presentation, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. It passes by, I'm sorry. We're going to take another vote. It needs two-thirds. All those in favor of Mr. Haykar speaking, raise your cards. Thank you. Those opposed? No, it passes by two-thirds in that hall also. Mr. Haykar, make your motion, please.
Should I read the motion?
Please.
I move that the town of Sudbury vote to request that their state representatives and state and senators file legislation that will require the utilities to only place on their property chemicals approved by the Board of Health and/or the town's health officer, but only after a public hearing and written approval from the said authority to use such chemicals. If any chemicals have been used in the past, then the utility must clean up the said site to the approval of the Board of Health and or the town's health officer, and copies of all filings that are now required of the utilities by the present State Department of Agricultural Resources, DAR, shall be sent to the Board of Selectmen as well as the Board of Health and or the town's health officer. The draft of such legislation need not be submitted to the town meeting for its approval before being submitted to the general court.
Does that receive a second? Yes, it does. Yes, that's okay. It's within I have ruled that it's within the four corners of the article. Mr. Haykar, you're about to start off your presentation by telling what the difference is.
Right, okay. The motion before you only applies to the utilities only. The motion before you only applies to those specific chemicals the utilities file with the State Department of Agricultural Resources, only chemicals that the utilities plan on using. We changed the motion, removing federal, and listed the State Department of Agriculture. And the main motion will not have to come back to town meeting.
Hang on one second.
Do you need to know the wording?
There's no question. There's got to be a point of order. It's got to be those 2 points. Can you stand and give us your name and address? And your point of order.
I believe there was one other change, and that is that he's also taking out the words anyone.
Yes.
That's
you
a big one.
You didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah. I can mention the actual wording. The first three words have been changed to senior.
Hang on a second. We don't have to. Yes. So in addition, between the article and this motion, the word anyone else is no longer there. And it just applies to utilities. Is that correct, Mr. Haykar?
I can be more specific if you want.
No.
First three words.
Mr. Haykar. Oh. It only applies to utilities.
Only
is that
utilities.
Correct?
Yes. Only utilities.
Yes. Thank you very much. No other business. Just utilities.
Only utilities.
Okay. Now, Mr. Haykar, just keep in mind in your presentation, just stick to why this is a good idea and be real relevant.
Well, I have some examples, too. So.
As long as they're relevant to this issue.
Okay.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, it'll be quick. Bear with me. While living in Pigeon Creek Settlement, Nancy Hanks Lincoln died of milk sickness. It was caused by settlers drinking milk from cows that had eaten white snake root. In the 19th century, many people have died in the Midwest of this milk sickness. Nancy Lincoln was 34, and her 9-year-old son, Abraham, whittled the pegs for her, the planks for her coffin. 1,000 people from Framingham, Wayland, and Sudbury said water is so vital to our lives and our health, it is the number one priority. They asked, who would be against this? They also asked, don't they already have to go before the Board of Health? I said, we don't even have the federal regulations that's driving the utilities' actions. When you have your health and your water, it can be taken for granted. Until you lose them, that's all that matters. 40% of American rivers and 46% of American lakes have been too polluted for fishing, swimming, and aquatic life. The Mississippi River carries an estimated 1.5 million metric tons of nitrogen pollution of the Gulf of Mexico each year, 1.2 trillion gallons of untreated sewage, stormwater, and industrial waste are discharged into the U.S. waters annually. Polluted drinking waters are a problem for about half of the world's population. Each year, about 250 million cases of waterborne diseases, resulting in about 5 million deaths per year. The current laws are not protecting us from chemicals. Drinking water from wells are threatened in Ashland, Sherbourne, and Framingham. And as we know, the Woburn Wells and Sudbury River are polluted. Herbicides travel through our groundwater and soil, contaminating nearby plants and habitats and affect wildlife and humans alike. Most water pollution comes from soil chemicals and pesticides caused by storm runoff. One major issue in regards to herbicide safety comes from inadequate testing. Although the Environmental Protection Agency requires testing, the active ingredients, they don't always take into consideration the inactive ingredients. Neither do they generally test for mixtures of chemicals, such as two herbicides.
Yes. Go. Yes. Thank you. Mr. Hacar, the audience has been kind enough to grant you permission to speak and to stay beyond 10:30 when we normally don't.
Okay.
Can you make this brief and stick to the utilities and the chemicals they use?
Okay. Well, I was just saying that herbicides that the utilities are going to be putting down have never been tested in combination, and that combination could be far more lethal than the original chemical. The utilities do not really care who pays or who suffers. Just ask the Cape Cod experts, over 60 experts of Cape Cod. There's only one act for drinking water down in Cape Cod, and there are unintended consequences
yes.
of environmental.
Hang on, Mr. Hacar. Yes? Mr. Hacar, if this was 8 o'clock at
okay.
night, we might give you a little more leeway, but it's after 10:30, so can you, let's. Just
well, it
hit,
is
Sudbury, hit Sudbury and
okay.
stick to it.
Okay. Herbicides, alternatives to keep unwanted plants at a minimum without can be done without sacrificing health and in the environment. Manual elimination has been done for years. Nothing beats the manual elimination. Where it's been done for over 20 to 30 years by NSAR. The ecological study links water contamination to breast cancer. It's also linked to birth defects. 60 or 90%, there's been studies where Similar results are shown with herbicide atrazine. Likewise, herbicides have been linked to female infertility, linked to ADD, ADHD, among other disorders and illnesses, and especially when seen in mixtures of chemicals. The utilities already cut the trees. Even their own policy allows plants under the power lines. It doesn't make sense now, since the small plants will not harm the power lines. The trees have been cut. Just to answer a few questions that came up. Question, it's too difficult for the legislature to write law. This is a ridiculous question. The legislature's ability to write laws, they write all laws in Massachusetts.
Mr. Haycock, we're losing people here. Can we wrap up?
I won't get into the questions then, I guess. The motion calls for the Board of Health to approve only if any chemicals are put down in the list filed with the State Department of Agriculture. Currently, the state law only requires utilities to post to a website. It is ridiculous for the utilities not to file with the Board of Health, the Selectman Health Officer, and it's crazy not to get that information and review it. And that's it.
Thank you. Does the Finance Committee have a position?
As this is not a moneyed article, we take no position on this.
Okay, and Board of Selectmen?
Board of Selectmen do not have a position on this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to speak on Article 5? Yes, way down there. Can we get a mic to that gentleman who's standing?
My name is Neil Kaufman. I live at 165 Dobscott Road. I'm an organic chemist and chemical engineer by both training. I have a number of degrees, and I've practiced applied chemistry my entire career. So I know something about this subject. And I urge you to soundly reject this article. Clearly, it wasn't thought through because it had to be changed in vivo. Believe me, the power companies worry about litigation. They would not put down anything harmful. This man tried to scare everybody by citing almost every illness that happens and every flaw that occurs in water. He talked about nitrogen in water. The utility companies are not going to put down anything containing nitrogen. That's the last thing they do. They don't want stuff to grow there. Now, he raised hypothetical arguments about non-testing of mixtures of herbicides. You could go on and nitpick anything they do and cause them to not use herbicides. It's in our interest for them to do this as economically as possible. They cannot, by law, put down anything that's not approved by the Department of Agriculture, and they don't. Now, I don't work for any power company or anything. I only have the best interests of my fellow citizens at heart. And this, I urge you once more to reject this article.
Yes, sir, right there. Can you stand up, please? Can we get a mic to this gentleman here? Thank you, Joe Baus, for being the Boy Scout runner.
My name is Rami Alwan, 119 Pantry Road. I'm a biochemist and a teacher in the Sudbury Public Schools. We're already seeing the repercussions of the use of these chemicals in Washington State. They're polluting their groundwater, and Sudbury significantly depends on groundwater. I don't have town water. I've got a well in North Sudbury. I don't want this stuff leaching into my water system and having my children drinking it. It is unproven. Its uses are unproven. We know it's a chemical pesticide. It's an herbicide, and it kills plants. You think it isn't going to damage human tissue as well? I don't want to take that chance on my family. So I urge the hall to vote for this gentleman's article. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Up there in the audience, could you stand up? Can we get a mic over to this? Thank you. Yeah. Turn it on.
Hi, Nancy yes. Schwartz, 11 Axdale Road. I'd like to know why the selectmen oppose this.
No, the selectmen didn't take a position, did they? The selectmen didn't take a position.
Oh, I didn't understand what he said.
Yes.
They take no position.
They take no position.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I clarify though, Mayor?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, the selectmen take no position on this, but I would like to say for the record that I applaud what Mr. Haker is doing here today. NSTAR came through our community. They devastated some neighborhoods. They tore up a lot of trees that our neighbors had planted 20 years earlier and watched them grow just to watch NSTAR come in and tear them up and then dump a whole bunch of chemicals on their yards, land that they own. This is land that our residents of Sudbury own the land, pay property taxes on, but because NSTAR has an easement on that land, they can come through and do whatever they want. And a lot of people got upset about it. A lot of people complained about it. But Mr. Haker from Framingham got up and did something about it. He went out. He got petitions. He's putting something together, and he's trying to make something happen. And I applaud him for that.
Anybody? Okay. How many people? Someone has called the question. All those who wish to speak on the issue who haven't been heard yet and have new information to add, raise your cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What's the point of order? Fine. Okay. So keep that in mind that there are 7 people who wish to speak on this article, including Mr. Haker. Before you vote, so we need it's a two-thirds vote on the call of the question to pass. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. I'm sorry, this is on the call of the question, not whether or not you're in favor of the article. This is the call of the question. Should we hear more debate? If you want more debate, vote no on the call of the question. If you don't want to hear more debate, vote yes on the call of the question. All those in favor of the call of the question signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. Thank you. Well over two-thirds have asked to call the question, so that's what we're going to do. Can we put the – oh, there it is. So there's the first half that you didn't see before. Is everybody all set with that, and can we move on to the second slide? Move on to the second slide, and that's the end of it. So we'll leave that on for a second, and then we'll go back to the first slide, which is longer. Can we go back to the first slide? Great. Everybody know what they're voting on. It's this article right here. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Sir, that's not a valid point of order, but seeing as that you were kind enough to stay here, I'll ask if there's a member of the Board of Health here. No. Is there a member of the Board of Health still here at this town meeting? I'm afraid there is no one. Okay, we're going to go on a vote. This is a majority vote. All those in favor of the motion in the article that appears on the view graph signify by raising your cards. Those opposed to the motion.
In both venues, it's overwhelmingly in. I apologize. All those in favor of the article signify by raising your cards. Got it. All those opposed? Okay. It's overwhelmingly in favor here and in the other venue. Article 5 passes. Article 6.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Motion under Article 6, please.
Okay. Slight changes for the Article 6. Motion for Article 6. The last line is eliminated.
Okay. Can you read the motion, please?
Okay. I move that the town of Sudbury vote to request their federal and state representatives and senators file legislation that will eliminate all unfunded and federal mandates, to draft legislation not needed to be submitted to town meeting for its approval before being submitted to the general court or Congress. Actually, there were two changes. The motion before you does not direct the moderator to do anything, and the motion does not have to come back to town meeting.
Does that motion receive a second? Yes? It does. It does. Right after I get a second, because I'll forget that. Is there a second? Yes. All those in the hall who wish to consent to Mr. Haykar, a non-Sudbury resident, to presenting a motion and a presentation, signify by raising your cards. Those opposed? It passes overwhelmingly here. Yes, it passed overwhelmingly there also. Mr. Haykar, can you make a brief presentation, please?
Okay, I'll try to go quick. The state is requiring Framingham to pay $21 million a year for state unfunded mandates, according to the Framingham School Committee. And the federal government is requiring...
Yes. Yes, Mr. Haykar, stay away from Framingham, Wayland, everything but Sudbury. Sudbury.
Okay, it's an example. Okay.
Yes. Who? No, that's in order. Yes, thank you. Mr. Haykar.
Okay.
If you do it fast, there'll be fewer points of order.
Okay. Well, just a quick number. The federal government's requiring $30 million in just unfunded mandates and federal unfunded mandates. The state, just like the federal government, chose to circumvent their fiscal responsibilities by placing unfunded mandates on cities and towns where it never belonged. When it became apparent that communities were not receiving equal educational opportunity, an enlightened electorate voted to put the power of mandating programs into the hands of the federal government so everybody would be treated equally with equal opportunity and justice for all. In view of the fact there are poorer communities and wealthy communities, the inequities were obvious, so these programs were to be mandated by the federal government. It follows that in order for it to be equally funded, these programs would have to be funded by the federal government. That's not what happened. Instead, the federal and state governments made them unfunded or partially funded and buried the local communities with debt that's destroying the principle of equal opportunity. The state and federal governments are directing the expenditure of over 30% of local budgets, Sudbury budget. The decisions on what the local expenditures should be or must be in the hands of the local taxpayers. It's the state and the federal government's responsibility. Otherwise, we are being taxed without representation. Some costs are too much for towns to absorb. The result is not an equal educational opportunity for all. The kids lose, the taxpayers lose, and the problem continues. We are just asking for the state and federal government to fund their mandates. I want to protect the civil liberties of all children and give all children an equal opportunity to life. There were some questions. The federal government does what they do. We have been successful in raising federal funding from 7% to 9%. They already acted, and we want them to do more. Encourage them. Fight for it. What harm does it ask in asking? If we don't ask for funding, we will not get funding. I ask you to step up, not sit by. Ask for change. People say they want a ballot question. I say, go right ahead. I support you. I am very proud to have been the one who filed both special town meetings, one on April 26, 2007.
Mr. Hacar, unfunded mandates.
Okay.
Not what you did. Unfunded mandates.
Okay. We voted 130 to overwhelmingly to support the unfunded, funding unfunded mandates. Other towns have supported us, Millville, Wenham, Wilmington, Ashputin. The U.S. Senator John Kerry and his policy advisor, Kathy Ahern, has been in support of these motions. The Framingham Town Meeting
Okay. Sudbury. This is Sudbury. Tell me about Sudbury and unfunded mandates.
I just want to mention...
Skip over that stuff.
I just want to mention what a town meeting member had said to me. Any negative action towards this motion would be sending a message that town meeting is in support of unfunded mandates. Other towns have overwhelmingly supported this motion in the past on two occasions.
Move the question.
Give me one more sentence, Mr. Hacar.
Okay.
It's too early.
I kind of rushed it, so I...
Should vote in favor of this.
The main thing is that 30% of every local community's budgets, these unfunded mandates, are too costly for the towns to absorb. We've been buried in debt. And the principle of equality is not being met because the federal government's putting the mandate to make it equal, but they're not funding it to make it equal. So it's not equal. So everything's a failure. The taxpayers, the federal government, and the children, they're all suffering. And this is not going away. Every single year we're getting more and more unfunded mandates. Now it's 30%. In 5 years it'll probably be 25%. 30%. Then it's going to be 50% someday. And you have no control of these mandates. You have to pay them. And I'm not against paying the mandates. What I'm saying is that we need help from federal and state government. They're the ones that are skipping out on their fiscal responsibility to provide an equal educational opportunity for each and every child. And right now, all this money is just too much for the communities to absorb. And we know that from other expenses that the state helps us with, building schools.
You can't move the question while he's speaking.
That's pretty much.
Thank you. I just want town meeting, if I may. Nothing I said should be construed in favor or opposed to this. I don't vote on these issues. Finance Committee have a position?
Mr. Moderator, we didn't have the opportunity to hear from the petitioner prior to this town meeting, so as a result, we've taken no position.
Selectman?
Mr. Moderator, the Board of Selectmen support this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on this article? Yes, sir. Yes.
Jim Gish, 35 Rolling Lane. It's in support of the concept here, but I find the language to be extreme. First of all, eliminating unfunded mandates. There's lots of very fine programs that I think that many people in this room wouldn't want to see disappear. Special education, for example. Absolutely. Special education among them. Now, I know that presents a particular challenge and sometimes burden to towns to come up with the funds for that. But I don't think anybody wants the special education program to go away. No. So, having our town reps, ask the legislature to file legislation that would eliminate special education or any other of the unfunded mandates is going a bit too far. If this were to say that would fund unfunded mandates, fund or eliminate, then that might be better. But I'm not going to make an amendment at this point. And And also, I'm wondering whether this kind of article would have any effect anyway. I mean, you know, it's an advisory kind of thing, the way I read it, that the town's going to ask our legislatures. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, right? So I'm opposed to this.
Yes, yes, ma'am. No.
I'm sorry. Julia Fitzgerald, 14 Lettery Circle. I guess two parts. Other than special education, what are the unfunded state and federal mandates? And could our Board of Selectmen confirm what we were told, that 30% of our town budget goes to pay for unfunded state and federal mandates?
Ms. Valente, or...
Because that number was bantered about many, many times.
Do we have any idea?
The town manager reports to me that an analysis of that sort has not been done. And if I...
So I'm wondering, where did that 30% come from if you were speaking to Sudbury?
Hang on. We'll get that answer for you in a minute. Did you finish, Mr. O'Brien?
I was just going to say the list of unfunded mandates come in many shapes and forms, and it would probably take us a couple of days to literally put together a list of every program.
How about three outside of special education?
Hang on. Maybe Mr. Haycar can help us with this. What other,
right,
in a short sentence, what are right. the other unfunded mandates can you tell us about?
Okay, in a short sentence, No Child Left Behind is a mandate that's never been funded. That affects every single community in the state. Another unfunded mandate, federal unfunded mandate, is educating illegal aliens who are not citizens of this country. That's a mandate. We have to educate them. It's required. Supreme Court ruled it. It's required. There's no question. But we're not getting funding for that. That's an unfunded mandate, an unfunded federal mandate. What I'm saying here is the legislature needs to write legislation. This is not the final legislation. This is I'm asking the legislatures to write the law. But I want funding for these. We can't eliminate special ed. I want funding for it. That is just semantics as far as the words. We can't. I'm not asking for that. The Supreme Court already ruled it. We have to. Their mandates. I just want them to fund them. That's all. Just help us out. Right? It went from 7% to 9%. I got other reps involved. I got the U.S. Senator involved. And it's gaining momentum. I have other towns involved.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on our... There's no one in this hall who knows the answer to that question.
Right.
Haycar doesn't know, and the Board of Selectmen don't know either.
A study has been done in Framingham, and it is...
We're not interested in Framingham. Sudbury.
Okay.
So I'm afraid we don't know. Anybody else wish... Yes, could you stand up, please? It'll come to you.
Cindy Fenichel, Old Lancaster Road. So what you're saying is that instead of paying our taxes locally for these items, we'll just be paying the same taxes through the state and federal government, and it's no net change to us. Is that right?
It's the only way to provide an equal educational opportunity for all, and only the federal government can we afford this. It's hitting our local taxes.
And only the federal government can determine how to apportion it. Is that what you're saying? And we can't.
What I'm saying is we don't have money. We don't have money for it. It's coming out of our local
budget.
But
it'll still come out of our pockets if we pay it to the federal government to come back to our towns.
Right, but then they will allocate it to provide an equal educational opportunity.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard before we vote on it? What's that? The question's been called. Who else wishes to speak? I see one hand up. How long will you be, Ms. Deutsch? Very short.
It seems to me that...
Mike, right there. Mike.
Hi. It seems to me that the proponent of this article seems to think that the federal and state governments have money to spend that we don't. Yeah. And it seems to me that these unmandated, unfunded mandates, thank you, have all social benefits attached to them. And we in Sudbury, for instance, have found a way to fund them. And it's not easy, but it's possible. And so I am opposed to Article 6.
Okay. It's not possible without debt.
What about Mr. Hagar? Mr. Hagar?
Okay.
I can only give you permission. The question's been called. Receive a second. All those in favor of the call of the question signify by raising your cards. Those opposed, it's actually one less than unanimous. Okay, the question has been called there and here. So we're now going to vote on the motion as you see it on the view graph about unfunded mandates. All those in favor of the motion as you see it on the view graph signify by raising your cards. Those opposed. Okay, thank you. Hang on. I just need to hear the phone in the other room. Okay, the motion fails. I'd like to thank you all for staying this late. And can I have a motion to dissolve the special town meeting? Is there a second? All those in favor, signify by raising your card.